much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
I mean, I've always subscribed to the idea that if you really want to impress your boss, you go in there and you do mediocre work, half-heartedly.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I am single. I have no trouble meeting women. I mean, women approach me 6-7 times a day. But I'm very particular about what I like.
Yeah!
I leave the ball in your court. You call me as soon as you have the courage to. Okay, Olga? Talk to you soon. Bye.
Is it human, animal, or something in between?
I'm completely single. I'm very intelligent. I'm great in bed. I make great money. Believe it or not, I'm a complete catch. There's nothing wrong with me. Matter of fact, I'm one of the few men in the city that has nothing wrong with him.
When can we get jiggy with it?
That's a good question.
Don't bogart the joints, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Your wife's a whore.
Don't bogart the joints, my friend. Pass it over to me.
You're weird.
Roll.
Yes or no?
Just like the other one.
That's not true.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Loser!
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
And the whores.
This is really, really dumb.
I don't have another sense.
I had never seen Star Wars because I was too busy hooking up with guys.
What's going on over here, Mom?
Let's pass it around.
This is magical.
You don't have to decide that for yourself.
And now,
you are literally sitting in a puddle of your own pee.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean show. Friday morning.
Good morning. Wow. It's the return of the world traveler. K-Rock's Kevin.
Woo. We're back.
26th of April. How's everyone?
We're good since you've been gone.
Wait, how is he supposed to take that? We're good since you've been gone.
I don't know.
Meaning we're not good now that he's back?
No.
What are you saying?
Of course that's not what I meant.
It was a nice break. That's what you meant.
No. Kind of sounded like it.
Yeah.
You know, you've been married a long time. Sometimes it's not the worst thing in the world when your spouse goes out of town.
Take separate vacations once in a while.
Kind of enjoy a little bit of time off. Sure. A little bit of watching what you want to watch. Going to bed when you want to go to bed. Yeah, I get it.
We had our way with the show.
Yeah, we did have our way with it. And then, we wrecked it, man. We wrecked it.
And then the makeup sex is always good.
So. Absolutely.
We put in work. Hey, it is Friday. We do have a lot of show, but I want to start with just a tiny little edition of How Does the Story End?
Nope, hold on.
Yeah!
We did have this discussion,
of
right?
Of course you did.
I know.
And also, Beer Mug, while we're on the topic, you know, I do tell you where to start Don't Bogart, and then do you just start it whenever you want now, or...?
Yeah, it's...
Just kind of let that that signal just come and go, I guess.
Were you hoping things would change?
I was hoping things would go better today.
Kevin.
Me? No, of course not.
Oh, okay.
No.
I didn't want you to be
The only reason I keep Beer Mug around is because he makes me look good.
He certainly does.
He's making you look better by the second, I have to be honest.
The guy who's batting 204 loves the guy who's batting 180.
Right.
Basically. I'm not the worst player on the team.
Yeah, I'm batting 240, but check him.
Mugs, we did talk about this, right?
I'm ready. I'm sorry.
Did you just have to re-record a new version of the intro, or could you just play the old one?
How does the story end, my friend? Friend, how does the story end?
I'm not going to make you guess. I'll tell you how the story ends.
Oh,
Fire Beer Mug.
That's how the story ends.
Very short setup here. On April 9th...
How does the story end?
Not quite that story. There's more to it than that.
All right.
On April 9th, a delivery driver for Papa John's Pizza in Atlanta was stepping out of his car when two gunmen approached him. They demanded his car and took off, leaving the driver alone with his pizza. But instead of fleeing the scene or immediately calling the police, the driver did what? Instead of fleeing the scene or immediately driving the police after he had been carjacked while delivering pizza, the driver did what?
Well, he clearly ate the pizza.
Delivered the pizza.
He walked to the place where he was supposed to deliver it?
That's what I think.
Okay.
All right. Lisa says walk to the place. Kevin says eat the pizza because that's what he would do.
He ate the pizza and then set himself on fire.
All right. That'd be a fascinating story. Beer Mug, I don't know why I'm asking you, but what do you think happened?
I think he beat the guy with the pizza and delivered it.
The guy left.
Clarity established that the driver was alone with the pizza.
The dude left.
How did he beat the guy with the pizza?
Why do you go to him for an answer, Bean?
Just because of this.
That is on you.
But instead of fleeing the scene or immediately calling the police, the driver did the honorable thing, Lisa. He walked the pizza to the house that ordered it, accepted his payment, and then ran to get help. Ladies and gentlemen, Lisa May, everybody.
This guy needs his tip.
That's how the story ends.
Police said the man filled out an incident report but didn't want to be dropped off at work. According to the report, he wanted to tell his boss at a later time so he wouldn't be fired.
Why would he be fired for that?
Right? That's what I've heard not great things about Papa John's as a place to work. They're not necessarily super cool to their employees. But it seems like this is a guy that needs to be rewarded or something. I don't know.
Yeah, he did his job.
He's a hero, yeah. But he didn't want to tell – he wanted to tell the boss at a later time. And I guess he wanted to go ahead and deliver the pizza because he's maybe a super conscientious person, cares about the reputation of the company. Or maybe he's just, you know, living on tips and every $2 helps. I don't know. But that is how the story ends.
So
Lisa, a point for Lisa. Well done, my dear.
Oh, finally, I got a point.
It was well executed, too, from the beginning to the end.
It certainly was strong. And thanks to Beer Mug for that.
All right, Bean, tell us about today's Kevin and Bean show.
You know what? I think Kevin is engaging in anger behavior towards you.
Well, he just doesn't know the show today. That's all. First of all, we have an update on a story we just read a couple of days ago. We've been dying to get to. And that is that Apple, the beloved Apple, and we're all using their computers and their phones and their laptops. Well, we're finding out that when we talk into Siri and ask how to do or get or be something, they're saving those searches. Now, what are they using those for?
So they save every single time I search for something on Siri?
Yes, they do.
Wow.
Yes, they do. So we're going to have an update on that story coming up in about 20 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Friday means the movie beat. And speaking of the movies, Beer Mug was on the red carpet of the big action film opening up this weekend, Michael Bay's Pain and Gain. He was on the red carpet.
Well, we sent our resident weightlifter.
Talking to director Michael Bay, talking to Mark Wahlberg, talking to someone else who was a big surprise to me that was on the red carpet. So we'll have all those interviews for you coming up in the next hour. We're also going to talk to our little friend Kat Corbett, who follows this show at 10 each morning, because she is the latest in a long line of people who went wrong somewhere in childhood and set up a Facebook page for their pets.
And for Bean to say that.
Well, yeah.
Who's really, if you were to vote who on our show would do that, it would be Lisa first.
It would be
first.
Lisa, babe. Yeah. Absolutely, yes. Lisa, yeah.
It would be Lisa, but second would be Bean.
I don't have a Facebook page, but it's only because I'm lazy.
No, but we're talking about a Facebook page for your pet.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Okay.
For Boner.
Right.
He deserves one. I'm just too lazy to do it.
I don't know why. Look, it's... Everybody loves pets, and sure, I don't mind an occasional pet photo, but that could be part of your regular life on your regular Facebook page. Does the dog or cat need his own page?
Yes.
And then somebody has to post as him, and then you write little things as if the dog is saying, I think that's too much.
I don't think you get it's cute.
That's a big giant.
Oh, it's cute.
It's cute with a K.
That's just a terrible idea.
We will discuss that later on. I'm sure a lot of other people have them too. Ed Stafford is the man's name, who is the naked castaway. He's got a new reality show where screw Survivor Man and Bear Grylls, who have backpacks full of things to help them survive in the wild. He gets dropped onto a deserted island by himself to live there for a month with nothing. And I mean even no clothes on his back.
And boy,
he is the naked castaway.
Yes.
Yeah, there's a lot of his ass on this show, too.
Why can't they pick a hot chick for that show?
That's going to be our first question is, can you get off the phone and put a hot chick on the phone who's also a naked castaway? Also, actor Kirk Ward is on the program today. This is interesting. He's the star of a TV show that is a spinoff of the popular movie Zombieland. Yet it's not seen on TV. It's only seen on Amazon.com, which is kind of the new way things are going. But he's an interesting dude, and the pilot's very funny. So we'll talk to Kirk on the program today. Dr. Ken Jeong is going to be in studio
finally
with us today.
Yes.
He is not only one of the stars of Community on Thursday's NBC, he's also one of the stars of The Hangover, and he's in this weekend's Pain and Gain. So Dr. Ken's got and he's a real-life doctor, too. So he's got a lot going on. He's going to be in, and probably naked if we know anything about him.
Hopefully.
And today's the day, obviously, your last chance to win tickets for tonight's show with Depeche Mode at the Troubadour. We'll give you one final chance to win the last pair of tickets. That's coming up, too.
How does the story end?
We got it, Bugs. We're fine now. Plus, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat, and that's next here on K-Rock. Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat for the Friday Kevin and Bean Show with our friend Ralph Garman. Good morning, Ralph.
Good morning, boys and girls. Porn star Kim Kardashian in the news. In Touch magazine is reporting that the normally outgoing, attention whore has been very quiet and reserved whenever she's been in public now. Some sources say it's because of her massive weight gain, but sources close to Kim Kardashian say it's because she's nervous, anxious, and feeling abandoned by Kanye West since she got pregnant. He's not around as much anymore. How's she going to feel when she really abandons you? Kim, how's that going to feel when you're single, Mom? More drama in the Justin Bieber crash and burn tour. I mentioned yesterday that Swedish police had found drugs and a stun gun on his tour bus when it was parked outside the venue in Stockholm where Bieber performed on Wednesday night. He's in Finland now for a concert tonight. But another unflattering story coming out of Denmark. Read the Biebs. He was supposed to make an appearance at an Elizabeth Arden cosmetics store. I don't know what the tie-in is there. Maybe he's the face of Elizabeth Arden in Denmark. I don't know. But he was supposed to show up there. And the retailers were waiting for him to do a personal appearance. It was going to be a fan meet-and-greet kind of situation. So they waited, you know, an hour. Sometimes that happens with celebrities.
It was late an hour?
Yeah. Six hours late to a photo shoot at the Elizabeth Arden cosmetic store.
Wow.
Isn't that the same as canceling?
6 hours.
Source told RadarOnline.com, it was disgraceful. This kid is quickly getting a reputation as someone that no one wants to work with.
Love it.
Then, for his show that night in Denmark, 90 minutes late to take the stage. Why? According to sources backstage, he was engrossed in a ping pong game.
Oh, boy.
Asshole.
Busy playing a little table tennis with Little Twist or somebody and didn't want to go out on stage.
An hour and a half?
Hour and a half.
While 20,000 people cool their heels waiting for the show.
Wow.
He's a prince. Even Prince wouldn't wait that long to get on stage.
He would not. I saw that there was an interview with Joey Fat One, as you like to call him, Ralph, from NSYNC this week, who, you know, at an age was that Justin is now, was a pretty big star himself.
Yeah.
And he said, it's easy to fall into that trap, but don't be a douche. That was his quote. That was his advice for Justin Bieber. Be a douche. Yeah.
That ship has sailed.
Yeah, it has. It's too late.
Another guy who knew a lot about being a star at a very early age, Michael Jackson, in the news. Michael Jackson fans will be happy to hear that he's still with us.
I'm sorry?
You heard me.
He's not dead?
I saw something on the news, Ralph. They did bury him, so that's
dead. He's dead-ish.
Troubling.
Dead-ish.
Yeah.
All right.
His lovely and talented sister, LaToya Jackson, revealed on Good Day New York that she's being haunted by Michael.
All right.
She says the family dog barks at Michael's room at the same time every night. So he's probably in there, you know, making Jesus juice or doing whatever he's doing.
Sound like the dog's psychotic.
And then she hears the click-clack of dance shoes at night in the upper floors.
I love her so much. She's crazy.
So he's dancing on the ceiling. Oh, no, that was Lionel Richie.
Yeah.
He's moonwalking throughout the halls of the Jackson estate, and they can hear the click-clack of his dance shoes.
Wow. Hmm.
Does a ghost really have dance shoes? Wouldn't he? If it's just your spirit, wouldn't you just be like a...
Probably doesn't need shoes at all.
Just be like a nude Yeah. Patchy Michael Jackson.
Sure.
With all his stigmata, whatever he had.
What was that, the skin condition they said?
Vertiligo?
Yeah, vertiligo.
I don't think it was stigmata.
I think it was. I think it was stigmata. And I heard you guys talking earlier about Zombieland.
Yes,
new
yes.
TV series based on the popular film that's only available on Amazon.com, as Bean mentioned. You're going to start getting all your content now through various websites, it seems like. And for fans of Saturday Night Live, this will be interesting news to you. From now on, you'll have to hit Yahoo anytime you want to watch Saturday Night Live. The shows will no longer be on Hulu the way they are now. Yahoo will have all of the current shows. But they will also have the storehouse of all the sketches and shows of Saturday Night Live in its entirety. That means wow. If you want to see a sketch
for through history
with Steve Martin from 1978,
wow.
You'll go to Yahoo and you'll be able to pull it up. 38 years worth of skits, sketches, and content from Saturday Night Live will be available on Yahoo. They just signed the deal this week. So, deal also Look. Includes behind-the-scenes footage, some musical performances, and dress rehearsal sketches that didn't make it to the live show. So if you're a completist, if you're a Saturday Night Live fan, you're going to be able to look at more material than you can shake Lorne Michaels at.
We always knew we were headed toward everything in history being available in the cloud, and that's the direction we're going. This is just another step. I mean, what you just said about Saturday Night Live is going to be true about all TV shows at some point.
Yeah,
that's you're going to be there's no
much.
TV.
It's too much.
You're going to be able to think of of I Dream a Genie, and you'll go, I feel like watching every single episode. You'll just fire it up on your computer, and it'll be there somewhere.
You will get nothing done for the rest of your life.
Exactly. It's too much.
It
too
is.
Much access.
It is too much.
We don't need that much access to our TVs.
Especially to Saturday Night Live.
Especially that. If you distilled down all the funny of the 38 years, you could watch it in like half a day. You'd be good. Today's celebrity birthdays, Giancarlo Esposito. How terrifying is that guy? Alternately terrifying and funny.
He's on Revolution.
He's on Revolution.
Yeah, he's good.
He's on Breaking Bad.
Yep.
Several Spike Lee's films. Just a super talented actor. 55 years old today. Drummer Roger Taylor of Duran Duran is 53 years old today. Jet Li, the actor, is 50. Hey, Kevin, it's your boy, Kevin James.
I'm sorry?
Paul Blart Mall Cop.
Yeah, you
there
love
you
him.
Paul Blart Mall Cop, your buddy,
you
your best
him.
Buddy. You
Easy.
Love him.
He's the best.
He's 48 years old today. T-Boz of TLC is 43. Slipknot drummer Joey Jordison is 38 years old. Jose Pasillas of Incubus, drummer for that band, 37 years old. Actor Tom Welling, he was Superman on Smallville. He's 36. Jordana Brewster is 33. Channing Tatum also 33 today. But the reason we celebrate today by far is the birthday of lovely and talented Castle actress Stana Katic.
Celebrates
her 35th birthday today. Boy, that's a she's the oof,
yeah. Oof, what you just said?
She's
right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
By the way, I'm going to say two words that maybe you haven't heard in a while, and they are weenie roast. Kids, all the details on the K Rock Weenie Roast 2013 Monday morning at 7:15, right here on the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K Rock. How about that? How do you
awesome.
Like us now?
Yes.
Starting to see a lot of email, a lot of tweets about when we're going to announce that. So Monday morning.
Yes. Very soon. We love Apple on this show. All of us on the program are long-time, big-time users of Apple products. We got the phones. We got the laptops. We got the computers. We love them to death. They can do no wrong for me, to tell you the truth, frankly. But I got to tell you, I was a little bit surprised to see this news that they are hanging on to Siri searches for 2 years. Now, for folks who aren't familiar with the product, basically it's a voice dictator. You talk into your phone, and it accesses the internet and tries to answer questions for you. You've used it, Kevin. You know,
sure.
What kinds of things would people use Siri for?
Where's the closest restaurant? You know, book me a hotel. That kind of stuff. You know, anything. You can really ask it anything.
How do you get rid of a body?
Sure.
A bathtub. You know,
there's
whatever
that.
It is you're asking. Well, on Friday, Apple revealed to Wired magazine that it stores Siri data from its users for 2 years before removing them from the servers. And this has become quite a concern for a lot of people because they're stored in the cloud, you know, which has been hacked before. People have figured out a way to get around that. And people are saying, hey, what about my privacy? I don't really want my voice being out there for somebody to access asking questions because you think it's private when you're talking to your phone. And, you know, it's a real concern about people. People don't.
people don't want to imagine that they're saying something privately into their phone, and now the whole world's going
to
hear.
There's another article that we've read where they tried and tried and tried and tried to find out how long they're keeping it, and it's impossible to find out. So we hear 2 years, and then we hear it's impossible to find out. So what's going on?
There's a lot of doublespeak.
And how long is Siri holding on to my searches personally? That's a little
I had no idea that
weird.
Siri was storing
Me either.
Stuff.
And what are they doing with it? Like, why do they have it? They say that they use it so that they can refine the product and make it a better product by learning from previous searches. But I don't know. It's kind of weird. I mean, I guess we asked producer Dave to look into this for us, and he contacted Apple, and I don't know if it's like a Freedom of Information Act type thing or something, but he was able to line up, I guess, some of the Siri voice requests from us here on the show, which I
– Fantastic.
I have not heard, but I'm a little bit nervous about hearing on the radio.
Maybe not fantastic.
Do you remember what you've said?
Not at all.
I've used it hundreds of times. Who knows what they have? So apparently, I guess we've got them here, and I think the first couple maybe are from Beer Mug. Beer Mug has been using the Siri search engine as well.
So this is Beer Mug number one.
Okay.
Siri, I like beets.
Not much of a search.
Not much of a search, but
what's she supposed to do with that information?
It's just he wanted to share.
Okay.
Here's Beer Mug again.
Siri, what can people expect from the phone that are using the phone when they talk to you? Will it be just a phone, or do they have something else without giving too much away?
So now we know how Beer Mug honed his interviewing skills for the red carpet.
And then one final Beer Mug search.
Siri, how's your life been up till now?
Now, what kinds of answers can he expect from his phone?
I don't know, but they're saving that. For some reason, they say that's going to help them make Siri better.
Huh.
Then we have three of mine.
Uh-oh.
And this is my first.
Siri, where's the potty bus? Where's the potty bus?
Now, you've always told me, Kevin, that you have trouble using any kind of voice-activated software because they can't understand you, right?
Right. Never. They can never understand me, right?
Now we know why.
Yep.
Siri, what movie is loud? What's the loudest movie I want to see loud?
Well, that could be very useful, I guess.
And my final one.
Siri, what did you do?
I don't remember what Siri said on that one.
I want to know the answer. What did you do? That's awesome.
And then, of course, we have three from Bean.
Oh, Bean. Okay.
So they sent these over. Here's number one.
Siri, why is the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald so good?
That is
that's a legitimate question.
Unanswerable question. Bean's second search.
Siri. What are you wearing? I'm Bean.
Creepy Bean.
I do remember that. It was very late.
It is a female voice. That's all he needs.
And she sounds hot. I got to be honest.
And finally for Bean.
Siri, a human can't get a sheep pregnant, right? But if he does, will she have sheeple?
Oh, come on.
Hey, we didn't search for it.
Smile.
Hey, come on yourself. Ralph really air drumming the hell out of that song.
Crap out of that song.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:22.
You still got the itch, man. You got to get Revolution back together at some point. Right, Ralph? Get behind the kit.
Yeah, or Revolver, my band.
Oh, Revolver, sorry.
Or I can get someone else's band together, too. Revolution, whoever played it. Maybe
well,
Prince.
You can see how
Prince?
I made
that
mistake.
Prince's band?
Very similar
Prince and the Revolution, right?
Sure.
What that is?
Yeah.
I think we need to just pass on the rest of today's show and just go home and reconvene, try again on Monday.
Maybe
what do you guys think?
We're good. We're good over here. We got a show to do.
Time for the Showbiz Beat now here on a Friday. Here's Ray.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
I'm sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Bunch of new movies coming to Cineplexes this weekend, many of them in limited release. So you're going to have to work a little harder if any of these sound good to you. But many of them I think worth finding, especially the first one we're going to talk about called Arthur Newman. This is the story of a man who fakes his own death, assumes a new identity in order to escape his life. He hates his life. He feels like a failure. He wants a second chance, so he fakes his death and reinvents himself. And he finds a young lady who is pretty much doing the same thing. Amazing cast. Colin Firth, who if you're going to make sort of a quirky romantic comedy, He's your dude. He's the guy you want
totally.
In your lead.
Love him.
He, many of you may know him from The King's Speech, of course, which was a huge film for him. But he's done many romantic comedies of this ilk, kind of in Love Actually. He played a similar kind of guy who was kind of uncomfortable around women. Very, very talented guy. Emily Blunt is his co-star in this.
All right.
And Anne Heche also stars in the film. Here are some clips from the trailer of Arthur Newman.
Arthur, what's your story?
I'm a golf pro.
You're no Tiger Woods.
Where would you like me to take you?
Broke into people's houses, wore their clothes, slept in their beds.
I'm Arthur Newman, golf pro.
You really think you're the only person with someone else's ID? What's the big deal, Wallace?
What did you call me? I've had too many heartaches. You know what it's like, don't you? Lose what you thought you didn't want. Spend the rest of your life wanting it back.
Quirky, interesting little film. It's limited release. If you want to check out Arthur Newman at a theater near you. Also opening this weekend is a film that got a lot of acclaim at the Cannes Film Festival this year, Mud, starring Matthew McConaughey.
Oh, I rented Mud. It was not
no,
what
it's
I
not
wanted
what you're thinking. It's a different film.
What a
this plays McConaughey's a drifter, a fugitive from the law, and two teenage boys run into him. And they form a pact to help him evade bounty hunters that are on his trail and to reunite him with his girlfriend. Sort of a coming-of-age story for these two boys who run into Mud in the backwoods. McConaughey in his element here, shirtless, grubby, southern.
Sure.
Here's a clip from Mud. This is McConaughey negotiating with the two boys who find him in the backwoods, making a deal for some food.
Seeing as how you two is from Arkansas, and we know some of the same people, and we grew up in some of the same places, I reckon we can make a deal for something.
A deal for what?
Food. Food for a boat.
Why don't you go get your own food?
Well, I would if I could. See, I told somebody I'd meet him here, so... Well, I'm stuck for now, and what I got's running low.
He's a bum, Ellis. Come on.
I ain't no bum. I got money, boy. You can call me a hobo because a hobo work for his living. You can call me homeless because... Well, that's true for now, but you call me a bum again, I'm going to teach you something about respect your daddy never did.
Oh, snap!
Wow.
Mud's for real.
Is that his real accent, or is he affecting that for this movie?
He's
amped
it
up. He's amped it up for Mud, yeah.
Mud.
Getting a lot of attention from the critics, so you may want to check that out. Then in major releases in all the theaters, you can check out The Big Wedding. Oh, this looks crazy. Weddings sometimes are crazy. And families are crazy. And families at weddings are crazy, crazy.
Why has no one done a movie about this topic
Why
before?
Why is this not covered? The chaos, the insanity leading up to the wedding, how everyone's all stressed out, and people get excited, and then people fight, and it's really wacky. Well, how come this has never been covered before, this topic? Oh, wait a minute. There's about 100 films like this.
How many Oscar winners in this movie, Ralph?
A lot, and they all deserve better. Robert De Niro, Katherine Heigl, oh man, that hurts. Diane Keaton, Amanda Seyfried, just a huge, huge, huge cast. Robin Williams is in this film. A long divorced couple fakes being married as their families reunite for a wedding in the family, and it's just, oh, it's chaos, I'm telling you. It's just wacky, wacky chaos. Here's some clips of The Big Wedding.
Do you know what your son just told me? Al's biological mother is under the impression that divorce is a great big fat sin.
Hell it is, then.
She gave up her only son so that I could have a chance at a better life. And now she left Columbia only to find out that I've been lying about being raised by heathens for the past 15 years. No offense.
I'm taken.
So just pretend to be married for the weekend. What's the big deal?
If those two are still married, what does that make me?
My concubine?
No.
Wow.
No. What else you got? No.
Pain and gain?
Pain and gain.
Pain and gain.
That looks loud, Kevin.
As everyone is picking to be the number one film of the weekend, Pain and Gain by director Michael Bay. Different kind of film for Michael Bay. This is the quirky story of a trio of bodybuilders in Florida getting caught up in an extortion ring and kidnapping scheme that goes terribly, terribly wrong. Mark Wahlberg and Dwayne Johnson star, along with Rebel Wilson, Anthony Mackie. It is the darkly comic tale of some misfit bodybuilders who get in way over their heads with this criminal scheme. Here's some clips from the trailer of Pain and Gain.
What's going on, D.L.?
Hey, you ever just get tired of being where you are, Adrian?
No, I kind of like it here. I mean, the weight's a new to
I mean, in life, man. When's the last time you paid your rent when it was due?
I got a plan to change that.
You just can't kidnap a guy and take his things. That's so illegal.
Sure we can.
Victor Kershaw is a criminal.
We go through with this. Nobody gets hurt, right?
Oh, man.
The Sun Gym Gang has successfully acquired every asset you had.
You said no violence.
And I meant it when I said it. I swear to God.
I cannot kill.
Duly noted.
There you go. Those are your picks this weekend.
Wow.
Yeah.
What did we miss last weekend?
Here's the good news. NFL draft on all weekend long.
Ah.
Sit back, pop a beer, see your favorite team picks as we get into the fourth and fifth rounds, deep, deep in the weekend. Yeah. I'm not overjoyed about any of these, really.
No.
But here's the good news. Iron Man 3 comes out next week. We'll talk more about that next week. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman's Movie Beat.
Dr. Ken Jeong from the Hangover movies and one of the stars of the new Pain and Gain joins us in studio later on this morning here on the World Famous Carrot. Plus, we've got your final chance to win tickets to see Depeche Mode tonight at the Troubadour. That is all coming up here on K-Rock. Ralph, I know why you're here.
Yeah, because that's all I care about.
Beer mug on the red carpet, this time of the film we were just discussing called Pain and Gain. Unfortunately, yes. Mug's close personal friend, The Rock, couldn't be there because he was having emergency hernia surgery that night. So he's one of the big stars of the movie, but you're going to hear Beer Mug talking to the director, Michael Bay, and also star Mark Wahlberg coming up. First, though, he gets started on the red carpet just to make sure all the equipment's in working order like he do.
Check one, two. Check two. Pain and Gain, red carpet premiere.
All right. So
is he dressed?
Twerking. he's set now. He's ready to begin the interviews.
Check. Check one, two.
Okay, but now he's really ready.
Check.
Last minute. All right, but here we go.
Check.
Got to check the gain.
Check one, two.
Too much gain. Too much pain and too much gain.
You do have to check the gain. That's true.
I think he's finally ready, and I will tell you that I was, not knowing everything about this movie, was surprised to see who the first person Muggs got on the red carpet was.
All right, here at the Pain and Gain world premiere with Judge Alex. Judge Alex Ferrer. How you doing, sir?
I'm good. How's K-Rock?
Now, Judge Alex is the Judge Alex guy.
He's the black guy.
Is he a black guy?
No.
He's got a judge show?
No.
He's not black.
A different judge.
Yeah.
You racist bastard, Bean. You're a racist bastard.
No, I was trying to think of the other
judge
on TV who's not Judge Judy.
Who's this one?
This guy, he tried the actual case that this movie is based on.
This is a TV judge, though.
He is a TV judge. But he actually tried the case that the Pain and Gain is based on.
Like 10 of those TV judges.
Does he carry the baseball bat?
No, that's not him.
Is he Texas Judge Justice?
No.
Well, what's this guy look like? I'm trying to picture Judge Alex.
He's a Cuban guy.
Okay.
So not black. White guy.
Okay.
All right, we got it. Take it easy.
Now at least we know why he's there.
K-Rock is awesome, and I couldn't help but overhearing a little bit about your story in your relationship with Pain and Gain. You tried the real-life case.
I did. I tried the case back in 1998. It was the longest criminal prosecution in Miami's history. It had everything that you could imagine for a movie.
Now, by the way, to Beer Mug's credit, once I've spent that much time with Judge Alex and he's told us that he tried the original case, okay, that makes sense why you're here. Okay, great. Thanks for saying hi. Enjoy the movie.
I'm
pretty much ready to move on to someone else. How about you guys?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
But you're not the journalist Beer Mug.
I'm not the journalist Beer Mug is, exactly. He's got plenty more.
And, of course, that being in the early 90s in Miami, there had to be cocaine, of course.
Yeah, well, this was the late 90s, but I don't think Miami's ever really completely dried out.
All right, he's got to be done now, right?
Sure.
Because now he's made his Miami
cocaine joke. Thanks for stopping by. Very nice of you.
Right.
Now, tell me a little bit about how writers and the producer came to you. When did they decide to make a movie out of it?
Now, why they would come to Judge Alex?
Well, because he's Judge Alex.
To get his approval on making a movie that he tried the original. I'm not sure what Muggs is going for here, but Alex, is being a good guy and gives him a good answer.
Well, they didn't come to me. I was not a consultant on this movie. I was actually invited to play the judge, to play myself.
So thanks for coming by, right? We're
sure.
done.
Yeah.
Got to be out.
Sure.
Now, you haven't seen it yet.
I have not seen it yet, no.
This will be your first time.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, that's a great follow-up question.
Are there any other movies you have or haven't seen? What's he doing?
I am excited to see it myself. Now, you said you came. When did you come to Miami? What year?
Oh, my God. 1961. Wow. I was a little baby.
Why are we getting an in-depth, lifelong career retrospective on freaking TV
and
Judge
did you
Alex?
Like Miami?
When did you come to Miami? What kind of house did you live in? How did you find it? Who was your realtor? I hear he's good.
So you've been through it. You've seen the progression of Miami through each decade.
Oh, yeah. Miami has changed considerably.
Now you have your show syndicated, Judge Alex. When can people catch that?
Okay, now that is maybe the greatest question Beer Mug has ever asked. Let me play that for you again.
You have your show syndicated, Judge Alex. When can people catch that?
Now, Ralph, explain to the kids how syndicated TV works.
When you syndicate a TV show, you are giving that programming to local affiliates throughout the country, and then they get to choose what time and station they put that content
so
on.
So every single TV station can have their own schedule.
They
can
air
this show
at a different time and a different day. Absolutely.
Judge Alex can be on at noon over here or 1 in the morning over there. Well, right. Alex, again, the nicest guy in the world.
Well, you have to check your local listings because it's syndicated nationwide, and it varies depending on where you are.
Mm-hmm. Okay, can we please move on to somebody else who's actually in the movie? Is that possible?
Very nice meeting you, Judge Alex, and good luck to you, and don't let anybody get out of order in the courtroom.
I'll keep it under control. You can count on that.
Thank you.
What does that mean?
Don't let anybody get out of order in the courtroom.
It's a legal term. You're out of order. They say it in all the TV shows.
See what I did? See what I did?
Michael Bay is the director of the film, and I'm very impressed that Muggs was able to get him on the red carpet.
Michael Bay, how did you come across?
When I was a kid. My God.
Michael Bay listens to K-Rock. That's crazy. That's mind-blowing.
Why is that mind-blowing, Muggs? I'm just curious because he does live and work in Los Angeles and has for a long time, and we are on the radio.
It's mind-blowing, Bean.
Why, though? Why is it mind-blowing that we have a radio station?
The radio.
He just didn't strike me as a alternative rock guy. I don't know.
All right.
And how did you – were you involved in the casting at all?
Involved in everything. What are you talking – everything. Every shot, every detail, everything.
A lot of times directors aren't involved in the casting.
No.
That's what we need to know about
this. They'll just show up and meet the actors for the first time there on the set, the first day of shooting.
I love that about 30 seconds after you met him, he's asking you, what are you talking about?
That's how we all feel.
He asked a director of a movie if he was involved in the casting.
Did you have anything to do with the directing?
No.
Michael Bay, have you seen this film yet? It's just classic.
For someone who hasn't heard of Pain and Gain and doesn't know the story, give a little tease of what audience expect.
It's stylish. It starts out fun, and it gets to a twisted world. But the guys do a fantastic job acting in it, and it's just very feels like a very fresh movie.
That's awesome. Thank you, Mr. Bay.
All right, thanks.
He was very nice to Beer Mug as well, by the way. I got to give Mr.
Bay
a lot of credit for that.
That's awesome that Beer Mug gave him was, I'm not listening to a word you're saying.
Yes.
That's right. Awesome. Thanks for stopping by.
Totally. Mark Wahlberg stops by. And Muggs, you were telling me off air that you were very, very tight on time with Mark, right?
Yeah. When they get to the – we're put at the end of the red carpet, and they got to get him in to see the movie, so they just bunch everybody up. So it's rapid-fire questions.
Right. Gotcha. So Muggs in kind of a tight spot, and I don't envy this position at all, but you have basically one shot to ask a question of Mark Wahlberg. What do you guys ask?
That's why we asked the journalistic sniper down there. You only got one shot to take. You send your sniper down there.
Got to make it count.
That's right.
Let's find out what he came up with.
Mr. Wahlberg, how many hours a day did you train getting yoked up for this role?
Good question, bad question. What do you guys think?
That's a decent question.
I think it's as good as you can get because who really cares?
Right. Yeah.
And he considerably put on some muscle mass for this movie.
No, it's about bodybuilders.
Right.
We got it.
Right, so I just wanted to know his training regimen.
We understand.
If he said three, would you go, oh, my God? If he said eight, would you go, oh, my God?
Yeah.
There's no answer that it would impress anyone. You know what you're going to get? A number. That's the best case scenario. You're going to get a number.
That's what I was thinking. I was thinking it's mildly interesting if it were an exceptional story. If it's one of those movies where he had to gain or lose 70 pounds, now you've got yourself a story.
Knew that story going into the question, which he didn't.
Right. But Mark Wahlberg looks pretty much the same as he did in the movie he had 3 months ago in this film. So that's why I was surprised by the question. But Mark was generous with his answer.
Just about an hour a day. It's really, the exercise is only about 15% of it. It's all on the diet and the nutrition and the supplements.
Looking good, sir.
Thank you, buddy. Good to see you.
So I'd have to say the questions of the night for Beer Mug on the Red Carpet of Painting Game would be, Judge Alex, your show is syndicated. When's it on?
Good.
I think it's good. And asking the director of the film, did you have anything to do with the casting? So I think, once again, good work from our friend the Mug.
Thank you.
Remix.
Come on, man.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 6:54.
Kevin's busy playing Judge Judy drops over songs now.
I wasn't aware that happening was now on the air.
Just blame it on me. Blame it on me, Kevin.
Shut up, Beer Mug.
Stop acting like you're a victim, Beer Mug. Like you're some martyr. Look, like, oh, everybody blames everything on me. You know why? Because 99% of the crap that goes wrong is you.
That's what I'm saying. I started out the gate strong. You might as well just put it on me today.
Okay, thank you.
When did you get to Miami, Judge Alex?
Tell us more about you in great detail.
Did you come across the water on a floating door? Have you seen the movie? No, I haven't. So this will be your first time there. No, my third. I haven't seen the movie, but it is the third time I'll be watching it.
We are going to talk to someone who goes by the nickname the Naked Castaway.
Yeah. Hour.
Plus, what's up with people who create Facebook pages for their pets, including our own beloved Cat Corbett here at K-Rock? We'll discuss on the way after the top of the hour. First, let us get the Showbiz Beat here on a Friday.
Hi, I'm horrible. That's how she should introduce herself from now on. Special place in hell for her. All right, let's get to it. I know why you're here. I'm not foolish. I know I'm like the girl with the big boobs at the party. I know exactly why you're talking to me. I know why you're hanging out. I know what you're after.
Your boobs?
No, I said it's a metaphor.
Oh, okay.
I'm the girl at the party with the big boobs. I'm not a fool. I know why you're showing me all this attention.
Because you want boobs?
Something. No, Kevin!
I don't understand.
It's because I've got Iron Man 3 tickets. That's why. That's why you're listening. I know. I'm no fool. I know you just want me for my tickets. You see the comparison now with the girl with the big boobs? You getting it?
No, I don't understand that at all.
Iron Man 3 screening, very special K-Rock advanced screening of Iron Man 3 happening Tuesday at the AMC Burbank 16. That's next Tuesday the 30th. The movie's in theaters everywhere Friday the 3rd of May. But you will see it before everyone else alongside me. I will be there.
Yeah, but where can I get them? I mean, like, where is there...
Dave, you really... This is not for you. This is not a screening.
Okay.
Why don't you answer my trivia question, Iron Man fans? Because you got to be an Iron Man fan to go this day. I'm not just going to give them away. Gwyneth Paltrow, of course, the world's most beautiful woman.
That's what I've been told.
As
which magazine?
People magazine.
People
put her on the cover and called her the world's most beautiful woman this week. Congratulations, Gwyneth Paltrow.
She's beautiful in Iron Man, I think.
Well, CGI, sure, yeah.
That's why they have computer graphics.
In Iron Man, of course, she does play his girlfriend Pepper Potts. Pepper Potts. Here's the thing about Stan Lee, you have to understand. Back in the 60s, early 60s, when he was creating all these characters, he had a real hard-on for people with the same letter starting their first and last name.
That was
Pepper
his deal.
Potts, it was Peter Parker, it was Happy Hogan. Everybody had to have repeating sounds in their names. I don't know why he liked it so much. Bruce Banner, everybody had double letters.
Interesting.
Pepper Potts is Tony Stark / Iron Man's girlfriend in the film, played by Gwyneth Paltrow. Although Pepper Potts does make... for a fun alliteration, how about her first name? Pepper. Iron Man fans? No, Pepper Potts. Pepper is her nickname.
Oh.
What's her actual first name? 1-800-520-1067. Call in if you know the answer. First five callers who call in, we'll get a pair of passes to our advanced screening of Iron Man.
Did I mention Iron this Man. In the movies?
Iron Bro? Man does whatever an iron can.
Nope.
Presses pants.
That's not.
Nope.
That's not.
Sharpens pleats.
That's not the same thing.
You will fight. Wearing cleats. Look out! Here's the Iron Man.
Ralph, do they mention her name in the movies, or is this something you'd need to have read the comic books?
You would have need to have read the comic books.
Okay, wow. This.
And they may have mentioned her first name in the films. I don't particularly remember one way or the other, but these tickets are for Iron Man fans, and that means comic books. So, game on.
Game on.
Game on. Neil Diamond, we've talked about him more than we have in the past 30 years due to the fact that they sing Sweet Caroline at Fenway Park every game, and he showed up in Boston to perform it live last Saturday, which I thought was a pretty classy act. We talked to him, of course, here on the show, and he had some other songs about the bombing that he was going to.
I bet those were good.
They were very good.
It was just love. It was just him with love, just making sure that was the message.
Sweet Caroline has sold a lot of downloads
because it's been in the news so much. A ton of downloads on iTunes and other sources.
Right.
So a lot of money for Neil Diamond, who not only was the singer but writer of that song. Well, Neil, once again, is doing something very cool. He has tweeted that he is donating all of that new cash flow to the One Fund, which puts together monies and services to help out the victims of the Boston Marathon bombing. So all the new income from Sweet Caroline will be going to the victims of the bombing.
That's wonderful.
He's got a ton of cash. He doesn't need
it.
Yeah. We were talking about comic book movies. Scarlett Johansson, of course, star of the Avengers. She's also going to be in the Captain America sequel. She's going to be in Avengers 2, of course, coming up. And now it looks like she's been cast in another film, which sounds awesome. It's from Fifth Element director Luke Besson.
That's a great movie.
It's a great film. It's called Thriller. It's an action thriller. She's a woman who's forced to become a drug mule. And this mule is carrying the drugs internally.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the nature of this drug, I'm assuming it's like a sci-fi element, it's a certain kind of particular drug, it gets released into her system accidentally and transforms her into an ass-kicking machine.
All right.
And she takes it all out on the criminals who forced her to become a drug mule in the first place. That sounds cool, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it could be.
Scarlett Johansson's one of the short list of women who can actually pull off badassery, who can be a kick-ass. Or
badassery?
Badassery. You know, to possess the quality of a badass.
Ah.
And go out there and make us believe that she could actually kick some criminal butt. So I'm looking forward to that. As I am to the new season of Snooki and JWoww. MTV's just announced they're giving a third season.
You're not
to
looking forward to that.
The spinoff of Snooki and JWoww.
I can't believe it.
Come on. Come on, MTV.
No way. No way. Get real.
Bad enough you killed that hillbilly. Now you want to put this on the air? What's wrong with you people over there? Who's watching Snooki and JWoww?
I can't imagine.
I don't know.
I hate everyone.
I mean, I got the appeal of the Jersey Shore. It wasn't my taste, but at least there was enough comedy happening. But with the two of them, I don't get it. With no Vinny and no situation, what's up?
Madness.
He misses the guys.
Yeah. GTL, baby. we have a winner. Let's go to Sarah on line six. Since Bean claims that no women ever want to win these contests for my little comic books.
Well, it does seem to it's been very heavily weighted toward the dudes this week. That's all I'm suggesting.
I'm just saying, out of the five winners, two of them are women.
That's
so
pretty impressive.
How do you like
right.
me now?
Let's see who Sarah's actually calling for and who gave her the answer.
Sarah?
Hi.
Good morning. Are you an Iron Man fan?
Yeah.
Did you know what Pepper Potts' real first name was?
Virginia.
Virginia, that's correct. Are you a comic book fan, or are you winning these tickets for your boyfriend?
They're for me.
They're for you.
Wow, she lies great.
So I want you to repeat after me. Say, suck it, Bean.
You don't have to say that. It's all right.
Hold on. We're going to give you all the details. You're going to see Iron Man 3 before everybody else at our special event screening next week.
She couldn't even pull off the lie. She was so nervous.
It. Let's go to Veronica. How about Veronica on line,
no,
line
we're
one?
Fine. We're already talking.
No, let's talk to Veronica.
What a dullard she was.
We don't need another one. Veronica?
Hi.
Hi, Veronica. Are you a comic book fan?
Big comic book fan.
That's what I'm talking about.
And you're winning this for your boyfriend?
Husband.
Ah.
Husband. Okay. I wonder who gave you the answer. That's fine.
All right. Never mind. I won't talk to you anymore. Harsh in my mellow. Today's celebrity birthday is Giancarlo Esposito from Revolution is 55 years old today. Roger Taylor of Duran Duran is 53. Jet Li, actor and martial artist, turns 50. Kevin James, Kevin's favorite actor and comedian, is 48 years old. Tom Welling from Smallville is 36. Stana Katic from Castle, 35. She's damn near perfect.
It's a good deal.
Jordana Brewster's 33, and Channing Tatum, also 33. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
One final pair of tickets for Depeche Mode at the Troubadour tonight. You can win them on the Kevin and Bean Show coming up later on here this morning. And then we turn our eyes to, oh, I don't know, a little something called the K-Rock Weenie Roast. K-Rock Weenie Roast 2013. All the details Monday morning at 7:15 right here on the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock. Hi, Kevin, you've been out for a couple days. We've been having quite the discussion in the office, and I wanted Dave, the King of Mexico, our producer, to join us in studio because I think, Dave, you're with me on this about the people who put up their Facebook pages for their pets, right?
Yeah.
I can't believe that Bean and Dave are on that.
What's wrong with you people?
I would think that you would both be fine with it.
No.
Because Dave has his cute corner that he's always trying to force into the internet roundup with Lloyd. You know how I am. I'm
Bean
a crazy
sends out
pet
pictures like
well.
Every other day.
All the time.
Every other photo is a picture of his pet, but
wait, who are you saying does that?
You.
I send out a picture of my dog about every two or three months. Maybe I tweet one. I don't have much online presence at all for my pets.
Well, maybe
liar.
That's because your wife is doing it all,
yeah,
so you don't have to.
Even if you tweet one picture, that's fine. You're not creating a page for it or a Twitter account
yeah,
for
this
it.
Is a whole,
well,
whole lot further.
Okay, go ahead.
This is a whole lot further.
The reason I wanted Dave in, and we're going to talk to a prime offender of this, by the way, who does have a Facebook page for her dogs coming up here in a moment. The beautiful cat Corbett is on hold. But Dave, you were trying to tell me yesterday, and I wanted some further clarification on this, that you're with me that the Facebook page for the pets drives you crazy, but
yes.
You don't mind a pet having an Instagram account. Now, why? What's the difference?
What? I think because Instagram is straight pictures.
Right.
It's just pictures of a dog and or a cat or whatever.
But with captions, though, just like on a Facebook page.
Yeah, but you're not – they're not – claiming
dude,
to be.
Dude, you're wading into the shallow end of the crazy pool with an Instagram account.
Yeah,
you are. And the deep end is the Facebook.
Yes, that's
the same
true.
Pool.
No,
same
but,
pool.
But it's different. It's different because.
Same crazy pool.
Instagram, it's cool little quick one, and that's it. It's gone. It's not like you're pretending to be in, and there's not this big long post about a dog or what the dog is doing. It's just, this is the dog here. That's it.
Mm. Well, I don't see the
that
distinction.
That is a weak argument.
Yeah, I think Dave
used
to.
Hey, I don't support myself, so you okay. know, I accept your scorn.
All right, good. I do know that Kat Corbett has a Facebook page for her two dogs, V and Blue. Their interests, Kevin, involve eating, farting, chewing, and snuggling. Please welcome their mom, as she is referred to on the page, Kat Corbett from the world famous K-Rock.
Hi, Kat.
I am never going to get a date again after this conversation.
You were never going to get a date before.
No.
Kat, you know that we love you.
I can't believe that you're not on my side, Bean. I am
Look, I'm sorry. I love Viola so much. She's one of my favorite dogs in the world. I love when you tweet out pictures of her, but she doesn't need her own page because she's not running it and she doesn't really have anything to say.
Here's the thing, guys, right? I thought I would save everybody on my Facebook from seeing me post pictures all the time. So if I make a page, they'll only see them if they like the page.
Right, you can choose to follow it or not.
So you're doing this for the peeps.
But yeah, because you know it's obnoxious. You know people like posting pictures of their gross babies all the time, and you're like,
yeah,
oh,
that's the worst, by the way. And by the way, this goes for babies too. Babies don't deserve a Facebook page either, unless you can post on your own page. You don't get a page. That's my policy.
Yeah, but that's what Kat's saying that she wants to avoid.
Yeah, I think it's a perfect strategy.
So Kat, you're saying that so the people that are on your Facebook page don't have to see all those pictures. You started a page for Viola.
Well, you know, I just adopted. I think it's a dingo or a hyena. I can't figure it out.
One of the ugliest dogs I've ever seen.
She does have an ugly dog.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a sad dog, yeah.
It's a sad, ugly dog.
Blue is awesome.
I basically own Ren and Stimpy right now.
That's true. Is the Facebook page Fat Bee? Is that the name of it?
It's V and Blue, and it's blue like blue cheese, B-L-E-U. But look, I got over 500 likes on that page in 24 hours.
Wow, good for you.
Well, I have to tell you that and we want to take telephone calls, by the way, from Kevin and Bean listeners who either have Facebook pages for their pets or have a comment on it, whether you think it's cool or not. We would like to find out and settle this once and for all at 1-800-520-1067. But I wasn't expecting Kat to have such a reasonable explanation, which is this is for the people. In a way, it's for the people who don't want to see pictures of your dogs all the time. They can still be friends with you. People who do want to see pictures of your dogs all the time, they got a place to go. That kind of makes sense to me.
Well, there is another angle too, which is they're both rescue dogs, and I'm a big supporter of people just going to rescue. I have an English bulldog, and everybody is surprised when they're I tell them I get it for rescue,
right?
And they're like, no, because it's a dog people always go to a breeder for, which is ridiculous. And so, I have two different rescues. I got a Blue from a different rescue.
So Blue has a lot of thoughts on that rescue situation, does he or she?
Blue's a boy.
All right.
Let me answer that question for you, Kevin, with a couple of postings from Kat's Facebook page.
Oh,
excuse me, V and Blue's Facebook page. This is from last night. Rutrow, our mom, Kat Corbett, is going to be on K-Rock tomorrow around 7 a.m. with Kevin and Bean. They'll be discussing Facebook pages for pets. Oh, dear, say V and Blue.
Wow.
Here's one from yesterday. Me, I have to go to work, Blue. Will you be okay? Blue, yes, me and V are going to be watching The Price is Right and ordering takeout. So she's got really a rich fantasy life going on in her in the heads of these dogs for her.
Cat.
They're living the life she wishes she were living.
And the picture was so cute, and I liked it.
Cat.
You're welcome.
Cat, listen. Kill yourself.
No, don't kill yourself.
I don't. No, I thought that's where we were going.
No, we're not going with. Look, I love Cat, and I love.
I do
V,
too. Love.
And I appreciate that you are spreading the good word about animal rescue. You do great work for those organizations. I know you put a lot of time and effort into it. Your dogs are lovely, but stop it.
Do I still get a bell?
No. You're on Bell probation.
Sorry.
That page is up on the internet. I'm sorry, Kat.
That's an ugly reality. Look, right, there are too many people in the United States, as far as I'm concerned. We need to deport some. And this is where to start.
Are you
babies. That's what you need to deport. They're gross.
Kat, there's no danger of you ever having a baby because no man will ever want to have sex with you after this. So don't worry about that. All right. Are you going to be able to go back to sleep, or are you going to have to stay awake now for your own show?
I have no problem falling back to sleep.
All right.
Okay. We'll let you get to it. Thank you for the
Bye,
time, Kat.
Kat.
Bye, Kat.
All right. 1-800-520-1067. Wow. Look at the phones on fire. We'll get right to you after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. Talking about social media for pets. We're talking about your dog has a Facebook page, your cat's on Instagram, and your hamster's tweeting. We're talking about all those people and what should happen to them.
Murder.
I think the murder button is certainly a possibility. Let's go to Ken here. We got time for a couple of phone calls. Ken may be the worst offender on the phone banks right now. He is on line one and he joins us now on the world famous Carrot. Ken, what's going on, man? What went wrong in your life?
Nothing. I just have, let's see, six of my current animals, three dead animals, an imaginary friend, and two porn names.
An imaginary friend?
How many pets have Facebook pages in your life, Ken?
Well, including dead ones?
Sure. Why not?
Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 9, 10, 11.
Why do you have Facebook pages for dead pets?
Well, because, well, let's see. Snack was very important to me.
Right, but Snack is gone.
He can communicate after the grave this way.
What's happening?
Now I'm changing sides.
Ken has gone bye-bye.
You want
bye-bye.
Ken on your side? Is that what you want, Lisa?
I may not.
All right, Ken. You've gone cuckoo and bye-bye. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Kevin on line three. We all know that all Kevins have problems. Let's find out what this one's is. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, how's it going? Lisa May.
Hi there.
You have Twitter pages for who?
My two rabbits, Thumper and Marble.
I'll bet Thumper and Marble do good work on Twitter.
Oh, they do. They take funny pictures.
I bet that's cute.
I'll bet people laugh.
I'm not as bad as Ken, though.
No.
No, you're not. No one's as bad as Ken. But wouldn't you rather have sex with a woman than tweet photos from your rabbits?
That is very tempting, but my rabbits do have important things to say in their life.
Wow. Plus, so he doesn't have the option of women, Bean.
That's right. What kinds of reactions do you get from your friends and family? Do they play along and make you think that it's cool and funny what you're doing, or are they secretly lining you up appointments with psychiatrists?
No, actually, I recommended them, and then once they started seeing the actual pictures, they just took them all off, and now they have no friends except for me.
Who, okay. your rabbits?
Yeah, the rabbits do.
Apparently, he's the only one who's following his rabbits up.
That is pathetic.
That is kind of sad.
But then that doesn't bother anybody, right? Yeah,
it bothers us about Kevin.
Thanks for calling, Kevin. Let's go to Jessica. I think she may be the crazy pet parent we're looking for. Jessica, why does Ellie the pug have his own Facebook page?
She has her own Facebook page because, well, it actually all started from, you know, the breeder that I got her from. They wanted to continue, you know, watching her grow, and so I just started a Facebook page, an Instagram page, and it just kind of blew up.
It blew up, did it?
Yeah, well, you know.
What does that mean, it blew up?
It just got big, you know.
It has like a million likes or something, or what?
Well, her Instagram is massive, you know. There's a ton of pug followers.
There's a ton of pug followers.
Yeah. Why do you do it, though? What do you get out of it?
I don't know. I like to look back on the pictures to see, also watch her, you know, see her grow and,
right.
You know, the funny thing.
But you can have those pictures on your phone and do the same thing.
On your computer, on your wall.
Sharing is caring.
All sharing is caring.
Sharing is caring.
Jessica, I appreciate that you called. I'm glad that you listened. I want to introduce you to my good friend Ken. I think you two will be very happy together.
No.
Oh, yeah, he's a bad dude, but you're cool.
He's the weirdo, right.
All right.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
All right, meet this guy, the naked castaway. Listen up.
I'm Ed Stafford. I'm an ex-British Army captain and an explorer. In 2010, I became the first person ever to walk the length of the Amazon River. Now, I'm setting out on my biggest adventure yet, to try and survive on a tropical island, alone, for 60 days. There'll be no camera crew. I'm taking nothing. No survival tools, no clothes, no food, no water.
Come on, Rain.
I'll be utterly alone. No contact with the outside world unless my life depends on it.
Yeah. Yeah, you drop me on that island, I'm dead in however long it takes you to die for not having food and water. I don't know, maybe I last 3 days. I don't know, but Ed lasted all 60, apparently, because he joins us on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Mr. Stafford, welcome to the program, my friend.
Thank you very much, mate. How are you?
Very good, We're doing fine. Fascinated to see this whole thing unfold on my TV this Sunday night on the Discovery Channel. Would it have killed you to at least start with a pair of shorts? Could you have spared us some of the man-ass at least?
I know. I cringe a bit when I watch it back myself. I suppose the idea was just to sort of draw a line under this sort of survival TV. I thought, okay, I'm going to do this with absolutely nothing, like literally no knife, no equipment at all. And I thought the best way to sort of visually represent that was to absolutely have nothing on at all, so that people would get the fact that I blummin' heck.
That's a good thing if it's Kate Upton. But for God's sakes,
right?
You're no Kate Upton.
So how much scoping out? I assume they scoped out an island that they knew was habitable. What kind of recon did they do so that they knew you would at least be able to find enough food to survive 2 months on?
It wasn't so much the food. It was more the water. There's very few uninhabited islands that have got a water source. Most that have got a water source are inhabited, and actually that ended up being one of the biggest dramas, really, because when I arrived, it hadn't rained for about 2 weeks, and subsequently didn't rain for about another 2 weeks. So what they'd identified as this very small water course ended up being a sort of wet rock face, and that was about it.
Did you find yourself licking a wet rock?
Essentially, I had to sort of, there was a bit of washed up cordage that I then managed to use as a sort of wick, and I got about one drip every 40 seconds.
So oh my God.
It was really abundant water, but I had sort of supplement that with coconut water, you know, the sort of green coconuts that you can get that you can drink.
Sure.
And that's really good, actually, but you drink more than about four and you get diarrhea.
All right.
Yeah. I did watch, with no shorts,
that's good news.
That's good for the home viewer, I'll tell you that. I did watch a bunch of clips. This is the voice of Ed Stafford, the naked castaway on the Discovery Channel to send in. And I watched a bunch of clips on the website, and I saw that water was a real problem because you had to drink a certain amount in that heat to not get dehydrated. And you figured out a way to kind of channel it so that when it rained, you could collect it in a place. What did you use to make drains and to use as a bucket to collect the water, though? You just only had to rely on whatever was laying on the island, right?
Well, I did, but I suppose that's the state of the oceans today. I managed to collect 40 litres worth of plastic bottles that all had lids on. Clearly, all of the plastic bottles that don't have lids on sink, but the ones that have got lids on seem to just float, and they obviously get washed up on little islands like this. And they'd even done a clear-up of the island before I got on it to try and remove things that would help me too much. And there were 40 litres worth of plastic bottles. So,
Isn't that amazing? The trash in the ocean kept you alive.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there was washed up flip-flops. There was two toothbrushes, which I used one of them. There was like loads of half disused flip-flops because obviously they float as well. There was even a rugby ball on the island.
Come on! This sounds like there's a ship just offshore just throwing you stuff you might need.
I was tempted to talk to it, sort of, like Tom Hanks.
Yeah. Castaway, yeah. Now, let me ask you this, Ed. I'm very impressed that you were able to survive it. What about psychologically? You are the only person on the entire island. You did not take a camera crew. You did all your own filming. Do you go a little bit stir-crazy not having anyone to talk to?
Yes, in a nutshell. I think it was the biggest challenge. It was much bigger than the actual problems that the island physically gave me. I think it's really weird. I've spent, 4 years in the military. I've spent time in Afghanistan. I've done loads of expeditions since then. And yet I've never actually done anything in true isolation. And I just, it's not that I underestimated, but I certainly thought that it would take longer to set in. I thought, like, after a couple of weeks, I'd start to get a bit lonely or something. But
how long was it?
Well, I mean, the moment I stepped on the beach, the moment the boat that dropped me off disappeared and I couldn't hear the motor anymore, I was just smacked in the face by this sort of almost panic, I have to admit. And it's bizarre, isn't it? Because, it's a construct. It's a TV construct.
Right.
You knew it was going to happen. And yet there was no hiding the fact that once they were gone, it was a bit like, I haven't really thought this through.
You're a guy standing on the moon at that point, and you're completely, utterly alone. What was the adjustment period like for you when you got picked up after 2 months?
What was it like after I got picked up?
Yeah. Yeah. In terms of reacting with, interacting with other people and everything, was it overwhelming? Did it seem, everything seemed so loud and noisy and busy all of a sudden?
London did, when I got back to London, yeah. I mean, when I got picked up with the crew, I was elated because I had verbal diarrhea. I was literally just couldn't get enough of company and was sort of literally up all night wanting to have conversations with all of everyone who was trying to sleep. But
but they love that.
London, yeah, I definitely did get that sort of slightly more negative reaction. It's just like, there's just too many people around me, too much energy, too many different things pulling me in different directions.
Did you spend time on the island talking out loud to yourself?
Well, yeah, but legitimately, because I was filming a documentary, so I think it was a bit of a double-edged sword, really, the camera, because I was told to sort of use it as treat it like your best friend who's a bit stupid, so you sort of explaining absolutely everything to it in minute detail, and it sort of legitimized speaking out loud. But equally, I suppose, if you've been doing something without having to record it all, then there wouldn't be it wouldn't feel so public. I mean, essentially, I was putting myself for a massive test, but I wasn't really on my own because these cameras were recording it to show it all over the world. So there was definitely an extra pressure, I suppose.
Right. Yeah. What kind of research, again, Ed Stafford is the naked castaway this Sunday night on the Discovery Channel, dropped alone on an island, naked with nothing for 2 months. What kind of research did you do ahead of time to help you be able to identify possible food on the island, either animal or plant?
Well, I went to Australia, northern part of Australia, which is about the same latitude as Fiji. We were on a little island between Fiji and Tonga. But, Australia, same sort of plant life. But I went more, rather than sort of identification of animals and animals and plant life, it was more because I thought that the Aboriginals would be perfect people to speak to because, they're sort of coming of age. They spend a lot of time on their own out in the bush on walkabout. And I thought they would be perfect people in terms of their really, really simple way of explaining their sort of connection with the land and everything. And,
right.
Mm-hmm. And they actually, above everyone else, said, they laughed at me, actually. They said, don't underestimate the effect that 60 days is going to have on you psychologically. That is a long time to internalize every single thought and not actually, bounce off other people.
Is that the input that you were looking for from them?
They gave me some tips on how to deal with it all. I mean, I don't know how much detail you want me to go into, but big nutshell, they believe that humans have three brains. The biggest brain is your sort of gut, your instincts. The second biggest brain is your emotions, your heart, I suppose. And the tiniest brain is the one that us Westerners use all the time. And actually, in the same word in Aboriginal for brain also means tangled. And they said, if you get stuck in this logic brain, you'll have huge anxieties and panic and worries, and you'll just tie yourself in knots. And they just said they were trying to get me to sort of operate more like an animal, I suppose, on gut instinct and stuff. And they said, they made me make a little stone circle, they suggested that I make a stone circle on the island. And they said, in that circle, you're completely safe. And so if I was, like, doing something and I started to worry or panic, and I'd literally stop what I was doing, like making a bow and arrow or something, go and sit in this stone circle. And it was bizarre. I just started smiling to myself and realized that everything was all right. And it was just, I think irrespective of your sort of beliefs and why they do that, it was just a really nice physical tool of just having somewhere to go and sit down and bring yourself back to that sort of status quo and not let things mentally sort of spiral out of control.
But didn't your logical brain go, yeah, I'm sitting in this circle where I'm safe, but I'm not safe?
The thing is, I think I was safe. I actually had the inherent knowledge that I could cope on this island. You know, if I hadn't evolved from day one, I could eat raw snails and coconut and drink coconut water and live in a cave. I didn't actually have to do anything more than that in order to get through the 60 days. It would have been a pretty grueling experience, but I could have just done the same thing every day and I would have come out the other side. But obviously I wanted to evolve, and so the project was all about how much can you evolve, you know, how sustainable can you live on the island, can you build a shelter, can you make your life better, can you diversify your food and that sort of thing, really.
Well, it's a fascinating experiment, and I'm glad you survived it. People should tune into the Discovery Channel this Sunday night, find out what happens when you eat a poisonous plant, find out how much weight you lost, find out how crazy you get when you're talking to yourself on the 57th day. We can't wait to see the whole thing. Naked Castaway is the name of the show this week. And Ed, thank you so much for the time on K-Rock today. We enjoyed it.
Thank you very much, guys.
One of the stars of Pain and Gain in theaters this weekend is Ken Jeong. We love him. We're so excited he joins us in studio coming up right after the top of the hour. Ralph, you've been wrapping it down with Dr. Ken in the other room?
Hanging out with Ken, yeah. Good guy.
How's he doing? Is he cool?
No, he's not cool at all.
Is he okay? Is he all right? Is he happy to be here?
Bit of a dick, quite frankly.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. I was really looking forward to it.
I was hoping for a nice experience, but it's not been good. Not been pleasant.
Is this on in that room?
Oh, crap. Yeah. First, third time for the Showbiz Beat here on a Friday. What's going on?
Don't let anybody tell you that geeks and nerds don't have a sense of humor. Have you seen the picture the Mars rover drew on Mars? Did you see that?
No.
Awesome.
The Mars rover from NASA
was driving around on the surface of Mars, and its tire tracks drew a giant penis on the face of Mars.
The Psycho Mike driving it?
Couldn't be happier. It's like Mars fell asleep drunk, and NASA went up there with a Sharpie and drew a penis on its head. Just awesome.
Well, Mars deserved it then.
Absolutely. Mars is a dick.
That's on Mars.
You a joke, Kevin, but that's how I found out about it, is Psycho Mike tweeting it. You can imagine he'll never stop smiling thinking about there being a penis drawn on Mars.
Mike has now volunteered to go on that one-way trip to Mars. He's willing to go.
That's right.
When he worked here, I had to literally create a rule that he can't draw penises on any of my paperwork. Because he wouldn't stop.
How did he abide by that rule? Was it successful?
I had to follow it up with a nice punch to the nads.
Well, sure.
And then it worked.
Those were good times here at the Kevin and Bean Show. Everybody was drawing penises and punching each other in the nads. Good times. Well, since we're talking about nads.
Yes.
Hulk Hogan.
Has them?
Has nads. I saw him. I saw him on Gawker.com. Remember we saw his nads?
Sure.
And that young lady, Bubba the Love Sponge's wife, he spent some time with her in that video.
Right. Yep.
Famous video that was much talked about. Looks like the Hulkster wins this round. He finally got a restraining order to keep the sex tape off the internet. This case has been going on since last October when Gawker posted that one-minute excerpt of the tape. And the Hulkster filed a $1 million lawsuit against them, saying that his reputation was damaged to the tune of $100 million lawsuit.
Yeah, that's accurate.
Yeah. Well, look at all the work he lost.
It's true.
Sure. All the people who wanted to hire him for all those
bar mitzvahs,
easy loan commercials that he does, he could have lost $100 million in revenue from that.
Sure.
The judge initially allowed that one-minute snippet that was aired by Gawker.com. They said they were within its rights to post the excerpt since it was newsworthy. You know, you can do that if it's a news story. Right. But yesterday, Florida State Court issued a temporary restraining order, so the video clips and stills will have to come down. Saying it's no longer news, and now it falls under the jurisdiction of this lawsuit. So until the suit is settled, we won't get to see the Hulkster's weenie anymore.
We'll be all right.
I don't know. I kind of enjoyed it.
I don't think it hurt him a bit.
No.
I don't
know. If anything, it put him back in the public eye for
right.
a hot second, so we all cared about Hulk Hogan again for a minute. He should do another one because we've stopped talking about
Agreed.
Him.
That's right.
So, come on, Hulkster. Whip it out. What about the pythons? Is that right, Hulk? Did you feel that way?
That's right, brother.
Bean's only impression.
The Bieber drama continues. Of course, yesterday I talked about the fact that they found drugs and a taser on his tour bus. What's Justin Bieber doing with a taser?
I don't know, but I hope they're using it on him.
I'll tase you, bro.
Yeah.
Trying to tase paparazzi. Well, now in Denmark last weekend, apparently there was another meltdown. He was supposed to show up at an Elizabeth Arden cosmetics store to do a photo shoot. And apparently, 6 hours late, he finally shows
up
for the photo shoot.
6 hours? How do they not just close up and leave?
I guess if you're booked to do a photo shoot with one of the biggest stars in the world, you just wait for him to show up.
Wow.
They had special wardrobe for him to wear in the photo shoot. When he got there, he threw what onlookers were calling a temper tantrum, refused to wear the wardrobe that the organizers wanted him in for the photo shoot. Source told RadarOnline.com, this kid is quickly getting a reputation as someone that no one wants to work with. Later that evening, he was 90 minutes late to his concert, didn't take the stage until 90 minutes after the supposed start time because he was engrossed in a ping pong game backstage.
He's a loser.
90 minutes?
That's a hell of a ping pong game.
You can play a ping pong game in 5 minutes, can't you?
Well, not when you're on the scissorp. Apparently everything takes longer when you're on the scissorp. What's wrong with that kid?
Oh, f*** you. Yeah,
what he needs is Britney's dad. That's what he needs.
Yeah. Straighten him out.
Yeah, I suppose. What he needs is Michael Jackson's dad. That's what he needs. Take off the belt and teach the kid a lesson. Just explain things to him. And Simon Cowell is talking about hiring new judges for The X Factor. Why? Well, because no one's watching. Britney Spears is leaving the show, needs to be replaced. Simon and Demi Lovato, apparently the only judges confirmed to come back on the show. Sources told Us Weekly magazine that Simon is talking to Destiny's Child star Kelly Rowland, potentially Reba McEntire, and Jennifer Love Hewitt.
All right.
All potential.
I like that idea. I will say I hear Kevin smirk at Reba McEntire, but you know, Keith Urban has worked out okay on American Idol, and he's, you know, from the country world.
Yeah, but she's from the country world 20 years ago, isn't she?
She's country royalty, Reba. They still love her, their Reba.
They do, yeah. She's like Dolly Parton. She's forever.
I don't know, forever. That's a long time.
Well, I'm saying you get to a point where you've had 50 top 10 hits in country. You got a career. You're going to have fans, and people are going to like you and watch you.
I don't know who any of those people are.
Let's not forget, Reba's also Lisa Mae's co-star.
That's right. I have the picture of us at home.
On the popular sitcom, sure you do. Reba. Mm-hmm. Do you remember your line from Reba, Lisa? Can you pull that up?
Probably pretty difficult.
You were at a wedding, if I remember.
Yeah. Talk about the ex-wife not being able to let go.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
Right there.
The
acting
stylings of Miss Lisa Mae.
For your consideration.
You got robbed of the Emmys that year. Today's celebrity birthdays, Giancarlo Esposito. An amazingly talented actor. Can do comedy, drama, be scary as hell one moment and funny as hell the next. 55 years old today. Drummer Roger Taylor of Duran Duran turns 53. Jet Li, actor and martial artist extraordinaire, is 50 years old today. Kevin James, actor, comedian? He's 48. T-Boz of TLC is 43. Jose Pacias of Incubus, 37 years old today. Slipknot drummer Joey Jordison is 38. Tom Welling, he was Clark Kent on Smallville for all those years. He's 36 years old. Wasn't he supposed to be in high school or something?
I believe so.
Right.
Jordana Brewster is 33 years old. Channing Tatum is 33. And actress Stana Katic from Castle celebrates her 35th birthday today. I would like to do something special for Stana on her birthday.
Yes, what's that?
I haven't decided yet.
Okay.
But it involves me taking my pants off. That's all I know.
Something she'd like, though.
Instead. That's what I'm saying, instead. Right? Instead you with that. Me, ladies?
No.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Less than an hour away from your chance to win the final pair of tickets for Depeche Mode at the Troubadour. That show is tonight. We've got them for you coming up here on the world famous K-Rock. First, though, you know him as Leslie Chow in the Hangover film, Senor Ben Chang on Community Thursday nights on NBC, and Johnny Woo in the new film Pain and Gain opening everywhere today. Hey, how come you always play Asian guys? Ladies and gentlemen, Ken Jeong has joined us in studio.
Oh, thanks for having me, guys.
Ken, what a thrill. What a thrill to have you on the program.
Thank you guys so much.
Having said that, we've seen way too much of you. Yeah, we have.
Oh, thank you so much.
We appreciate you wearing clothes today, as a matter of fact.
I know. That was against my instincts, but I decided to, figure it's casual Friday for me is clothes on. So
here's what I'll say about you, Dr. Ken. And we've been a fan of so many things you've been in, and Knocked Up and Step Brothers and Pineapple Express and Role Models and The Hangover and Community. So much great stuff. The thing about you is the thing about Will Ferrell is that you seem to be fearless and committed, and if you think it's going to be funny, you have no problem going for it. Am I right about that?
That's the highest praise I could think of. Thank you guys so much. Check's in the mail. So that's great.
Is the check really in the mail?
No, it's not. It's really not.
Do you have any kind of embarrassment at all when you're doing some of the things that you do, or is it all just in the service of the work and you're fine with it?
I think it's the service of the work and I'm fine with it. I think off camera, I'm pretty shy and I'm the guy at the beach that's afraid to take his shirt off. So, but when the camera's on, apparently not. So,
wow. You can only go by what's happened in the past, and that seems to have happened.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. And you also have, and we'll talk about Pain Again, of course, in theaters this weekend. You also have one of the strangest, most circuitous routes to becoming an actor. Exactly. Talk about a dude who is overqualified to be a goofy naked guy in a movie, right?
I haven't heard it that way before. Yes. Yeah. I am overly qualified to be a goofy naked guy. I love it.
I'm sorry to go back so far, but do tell us about being a doctor.
Oh, yeah.
And then working your way into the movies while sort of still being a doctor part-time, right?
Right, right. I was a real
doctor.
I was an internal medicine physician for 7 years here in L.A., and my wife's a doctor. She still practices, and it was always my dream, though, in college, me to be an actor. Yeah, this was a secret dream. I just didn't think it was realistic to, you know, because acting is such a tough business, such a fickle.
It wasn't, but you made it.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So I just didn't ever think I would work steadily as an actor. So, you know, it was actually my wife who actually gave me confidence, supported me. She was like, you gotta quit your job and pursue your dream. And
Were you being a doctor at the point you were acting at any?
Yeah, I was like,
point along the way?
I booked Knocked Up around.
Knocked Up.
Yeah,
okay.
So that was the first movie I had done. And
you were still a doctor?
And I was still a doctor. And then soon after completing Knocked Up, with my wife's encouragement, made the leap to transition full time into acting.
So there were some patients who went to see Knocked Up over the weekend and then Monday showed up for a pelvic exam and you were the guy doing it, right?
No, I had quit way before Knocked Up had come out.
I see. Okay.
So yeah, it was really I really just jumped into acting full throttle.
But
so
that's still bizarre that there was somebody watching Knocked Up going, that guy was my doctor. I wonder if he was even really a doctor.
Right. People would be so surprised because, you know, at work as a physician, I was uber serious, uber intense, and I wasn't like joking around.
You seemed like such a goofball.
Yeah, but I wasn't like joking around like Patch Adams. Like I didn't. Oh, you got herpes, but I got your nose. It wasn't like that at all. No, it was. I mean, you're dealing with life death issues, and you just have to work accordingly.
Were you happy the day you quit being a doctor?
No, I was scared. I still, like, all my good friends are either doctors or comics, you know? So I really loved being a physician, and I love my patients. I still keep in contact with some of them. So it's great. It was really, you know, it was a mixed thing, but deep down inside, I always wanted to act. I always wanted to be an actor, and I just wanted to be a working actor. That was my whole goal, and it still is.
Okay, so yeah. Tell me this then, Dr. Ken, and that is that you wanted to be an actor, but thought wisely, by the way, because it is not a realistic occupation for most people. You thought, all right, I need something solid. How do you decide on medicine, which has got to be the most difficult backup career of all time and the most expensive one to get into?
And something you would think you'd never quit once you achieve that.
Well, that's the Asian in me, you know what I mean? So I think the choice was kind of made for me.
You had a choice in that one?
By Mama and Papa. You know, so I think they heavily encouraged me to go on that route.
And Mama and Papa were thrilled when you quit?
They actually were. Sweetest thing my father has ever said, because he was always like, you have to think about your family before you make any career moves. And he said that when I was a kid. And then when I told him I quit, I'm going to quit, he said, well, what does your wife think? She's like, well, she's the one who's urging me, you know, supporting me to quit. And she goes, well, you have your answer. It's all about getting the love and support of your family. And this is now your family.
How about that?
It was the nicest, sweetest thing he's ever said.
Was it a surprise to you? Did you think he was going to come?
I thought he would be a little bit more. Yeah, I thought he would be not coming down, but I thought he'd be a little bit more ready. Yeah, I thought he'd be. I thought there would be a lot more crying involved.
What did we go wrong with you? You are going to be over the top actor.
Well, that came true, Dad. I am, but at least I'm happy, you know?
Ken, true or false that at some point you filled in for Dr. Drew as the doctor on Love Line?
I did. I did once. It was about, I think it was about like a year or 6 months after Knocked Up came out, and I went on his one radio show. He has like 20,
he has 100
projects at the same, you know,
yeah.
He's the Ryan Seacrest of doctors. He has like so many projects going on, and he asked me to fill in as the doctor on Loveline, and I was terrified. I hadn't, you know, that's a different kind of subset of medicine.
Right.
And
were you shocked by the questions that you got?
I was, some of the questions were shocked. I was definitely warned by Drew about that beforehand. But what amazed me was, like, the co-host knew that subset of medicine more than I did, because when you're hearing all the cases going on, like,
right.
It's like the nurse knowing just as much as a doctor,
right.
When it comes, like, knew 90% of the cases, you know, like, was just so on. So I just basically deferred to the co-host a lot. So,
yeah, I mean, I think Ted Stryker was hosting back when you were.
Stryker,
all of those,
yes.
All those guys,
right.
Whether it's Carolla or Mike Catherwood or any of the guys who do it, man, they can all diagnose herpes over the phone or whatever you need because they hear it night in and night out. All right, we got to take a break. Dr. Ken is here. Ken Jeong, who is the funniest guy on TV and now the funniest guy in movies, too. The film is called Pain and Gain, directed by Michael Bay. A phenomenal cast. Mark Wahlberg, The Rock is in this thing. Anthony Mackie, Rebel Wilson, Ed Harris, Tony Shalhoub. What a cast.
It is an
Rob
amazing
Corddry,
cast.
We're going to talk all about it when we return with Ken right after this on K-Rock.
When you think about Pain and Gain, you think about The Rock,
mm-hmm.
huge,
mm-hmm.
muscular guy. You think about Mark Wahlberg, ripped.
Yeah.
And you think about Dr. Ken Jeong.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Not prompted, not scripted.
Bon
there you go.
Bon Iver extraordinaire.
Thank you.
One of these is not like the other. Pain and Gain is directed by Michael Bay. Now,
yes.
I don't know much about him. He's been good to K-Rock over the years, but he has a reputation as a bit of a taskmaster on set. I've heard stories out of Transformers and other movies that he's been associated with. What was he like for you to work
Michael
with as a director,
Bay
Ken?
Is one of my favorite directors
really?
I've ever worked with. Dude, I would do anything for Michael Bay. You know, he's known for, like you said, he's known for, like, big Transformers movies and Pain and Gain. You're going to see how, like, intimate he is with the camera. And anyone who's ever worked with him knows he's a cinematic genius. I mean, he does things with a camera that I've never seen anybody do. And I really think that after watching Pain and Gain, people are going to appreciate what we as actors have already, who've worked with him, already know is that, you know, he's a genius. And I think he's honestly one of the most exciting filmmakers out right now. And, like, there's no Autobots in this one. There's no Decepticons. It's just, like, it's just actors acting, man. And it's a stellar cast. That's why he assembled such a stellar cast. People want to work with him. And
right.
I had, you know, I have a small role in the movie, but I really wanted to do it because of Michael, and my scenes were with Mark Wahlberg, who I always wanted to meet, much less work with, because I was such a huge fan. And, you know,
of the Funky Bunch, you mean? Like we all are. And Wahlbergers. His hamburger chain in Boston.
Also movies like Boogie Night.
Oh, right, of course. I forgot he's also
the Departed.
An actor. Yeah,
yes, yes, yes.
Right,
Oscar nominated.
Sure. This movie is based on a true story, as many of us know, about some buff guys who decide they're going to kidnap somebody and try to get some money, and it goes wrong, and it looks very, very funny. Now, is your character, John Woo, is he based on a real person also?
Yeah, he's an amalgamation of, like, different motivational speakers. A little bit of Tom Vu, like that Asian motivational speaker in the mid-90s. A little bit of like Tony Robbins, and also I just went on YouTube, just saw a bunch of motivational speakers. I mean, there's some really good ones like Tony, like really good motivational speakers, but I wanted to play a bad one that was saying very empty, stupid catchphrases with gravitas, you know? How to be stupid and deep at the same time. That was my goal.
I have a clip of you giving a speech, and it's pretty spectacular.
Every person in America is either a doer or a don'ter. And if I can get you to learn one thing today, one take-home point, it would be this. Don't be a don'ter. Do be a doer. I had a wife, two beautiful daughters, a perfect partner. Thank God I left her Now I'm with seven honeys, of which I can choose from.
What's not to like about that advice?
I know, my
worst
wife,
advice ever.
Yeah, my wife is listening to this. That's amazing. And during the screening of it, during the premiere, I looked right at my wife, and we have two daughters. It was, it's like the Dr. Ken way of saying, I love my family. It's
sure.
Very, yeah. Full of-
So you've got Pain and Gain coming out this weekend. And
yes,
then,
sir.
Is it Memorial Day weekend that Hangover 3 comes
yes,
out?
Yes, Hangover 3, the epic finale to the
In a million
trilogy.
Years, could you have imagined when you signed up for the Hangover that it would end up being one of the biggest, highest-grossing motion pictures of all time?
I never imagined any of this. This
you
the
didn't
Hangover.
Read it and say, wow, this is special? No. Or
oh, I thought it would be.
You did.
I thought, I remember after my wife saw the first cut of it, we were like, oh, this is the funniest movie I've ever been a part of. I hope people see it.
Right.
That's what we were thinking.
Because you never know
you
how
never
it's going to go over.
You never know how it's going to go. And it every bit of success, even getting Michael Bay movies, and even getting on Transformers and Pain and Gain, every bit of success the last 4 years have been solely due to The Hangover. It just there's this old quote from like Keith Richards saying, when I listened to Chuck Berry, it changed my life from black and white to Technicolor. That's exactly what happened. That naked moment in the trunk changed my life. I mean, it wasn't music. It was just.
It was music,
it was. It was very dissonant, but it did change my life from black and white to Technicolor. I'm just so grateful for. I mean, those guys are family to me. So to work with them on three movies was amazing.
Yeah, I was going to ask if you were excited about Hangover 2 and then excited again about Hangover 3. Like, you love doing these movies.
I love doing these movies. I mean, Mr. Chow is the best character. I love that character so much. And, you know, I rarely as an actor can you have a character that can just say literally anything.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
Anything. And Todd Phillips is just, I mean, you know, he just... I just gave me a career, man. I'm just
What's
so,
Galifianakis
so
like? He seems like such
Galifianakis,
a cool, strange, weird, but
Zach
awesome
Galifianakis,
guy.
Funniest man alive.
Oh, no, not
alive.
Zach. Tony. We're talking about Tony, his younger brother.
No, that's Tony Galifianakis. Funniest little brother alive. Zach Galifianakis is the funniest man alive. He's the funniest man I've ever worked with. And I've worked with him, and I've been friends with him since my stand-up days, you know, for like 14 years. But just working with him side by side on three movies, he never not makes me laugh.
He's a weirdo, though. Here's the thing that I admire about him. He's a weirdo. He doesn't conform to what everybody else wants him to do. And basically, most people, when they get into the movies, they go, oh, yeah, we want to cast you. We want you to be our guy and make you this way. He's done it by his own rules all the way along.
I think he's done it by his own rules all along. And I think Todd Phillips recognized that genius, how he can march to his own beat, and he's the first director, I think, because he had done some movies before that really captured that essence of him and allowed him. Why are you going to hire a guy like Galifianakis and not let him do his thing?
Right.
And
right.
I think
but
that's
what most of Hollywood would do.
Well,
that's common.
Well, that's common in the business, right? So that's you've just described Hollywood, but you're right. I think is a combination of Zach and Todd. You know, working so well together. And I love watching Todd work with like Bradley and Zach, even when I'm not in the scene, because it is kind of like the Beatles work, and they have this like secondhand shorthand where you can see what the other guy's thinking and where they're going to go in a scene. It is kind of beautiful to watch, and they're all four of them haven't changed at all. They're like the same grounded people, and you know, I've been working them with three movies, and they're literally the same guys, and it's inspiring to see.
Ken, have you hosted Saturday Night Live yet?
No.
Why not?
Oh, I don't think I'm big enough to host.
You're big enough.
No,
I'll host SNL.
I mean, physically? Or?
There's a height requirement. There's a height. Lauren Michaels.
That's absurd.
Yeah, Lauren Michaels, you're not big enough to host. We need five.
Must be this tall.
We must be 5'7".
Well, I was just thinking, as you were talking about Zach, I was thinking about how great he is at hosting SNL.
Oh,
and I know
Zach
he's coming
is,
back
Zach
to do it
is
again.
One that I can't wait. I was texting him the other day. I can't wait to watch him host SNL.
But I think he would be phenomenal at that.
We got
to make that happen.
You know what? I did. I was actually backstage on SNL with Zach, watching Bradley host for like 4 years for the first time, and that was one of my most exciting days as a fan of comedy and as a huge fan of SNL, and like them allowing me just to hang out backstage and see everybody. So it's really
you need to be out front.
No, I'm
we're
happy.
Gonna some, we're gonna make that happen.
I'm happy being the bridesmaid. Truly, I have no desire to be a star. I'm just so happy I can even just hang out with like
brilliant comedians. That's that, that was that's really look, man, I was just a doctor at Kaiser, all right, like 6 years ago. And now
it was only 6 years
ago? seven years ago. So for me, I'm just happy being invited to the dance, you know, just like hanging out. And that I hope that never changes, because I just wanna at the end of all this, I just want to work. I just want to be a working actor. It was never about being famous. It was never about being rich. It was always just about being happy, because I had a great life as a physician, mm-hmm. and I was making great money, and I had a great life. And now I have an even better life because I'm still doing something that I love. And at the end of the day, as the older I get, and I have two daughters, and that's not what I want to impart to my own kids. It's just, if you're happy with your everyday life, you know, and that's the big challenge for me, just to always just see the pot of gold right now in front of you,
that's
as opposed
very
to
difficult.
Yeah, it's
thanks,
very
Johnny
difficult.
Woo.
I know. By the way, all this is bogus. I'm just being Johnny Woo right now.
Well, it's a very refreshing attitude, because we look at you as a comedy superstar, Ken.
Oh, you're
so
too
the fact
kind.
That you, the fact that you are
I'm
still
the hat
that,
from way back. That's what I look at.
The fact that you still love comedy and acting and show business so much is really refreshing. I'm sorry
that we're
out of time, but the movie looks very funny.
It's a great
very
movie.
Cool. It is called Pain and Gain,
Michael
directed
Bay's
by
best
Michael
movie.
Bay.
Yeah.
And it opens up everywhere this weekend. Let's hear it for Dr. Cannon. Please
Thank you.
Come back and see us
anytime.
Again anytime, sir.
Thank you guys for having me.
For Hangover 3, we'd like to have you back.
I would love that.
Okay.
About 20 minutes away from your last chance to win Depeche Mode tickets for tonight at the Troubadour. Our phones are going to melt down, aren't they? Because
yes.
You know how insane it's been all week long with these tickets. And this is the very last pair. So we have a painful way for you to win them coming up just after 9 o'clock this morning here on KREX. First, though, this is a fascinating idea from our friends at Amazon.com, Kevin. They have put, 14 new I'll call them television pilots because that's what they look like, up online for people to watch for free.
Are they television pilots?
Well, they're pilots like you'd see on TV, except they're not on television. They're only on Amazon.com. But now you go on and you watch these, and the viewers decide which ones end up getting made into actual series to run on Amazon.com. By how many people watch it, what kind of comments they get, what kind of response they get, what the buzz is like on them. I think it's a fascinating idea. And one of the shows that's getting the most buzz early up is called Zombieland, the series. And yeah, it's kind of a sequel to the very popular movie from a couple years ago. And the man who's playing Tallahassee on the new series is actor Kirk Ward, who joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Kirk, welcome to the program.
Hey,
how are you?
I'm great. Good morning. I'm honored to be on the show. Thanks for having me, you guys.
Sure. Well, it's our pleasure. I know that you've been acting for a while now, but this is, even for a guy like you, this is something completely different, this new paradigm, right?
Oh, it's yeah. I mean, you know, we've all watched TV shows and asked that question of, like, how did this get on the air? And what's cool about what Amazon is doing, you know, like you said, they put the shows up, and it's the audience decides based on most, you know, views, comments, how it's shared through social media. So if you watch the show and you click on Facebook or you tweet about it, all of that is taken into consideration. So truly the audience is in charge. So, I mean,
already enough pressure to put a new show up. Now you've got this additional hurdle you're going to have to jump in order to get made.
Right. I know. And from the acting side of it, it's great because a lot of times, you know, you shoot pilots, they go up. You know, they don't go up, you know, you make them and no one sees them, and, you know, people have no idea. But what's great about this is you make it, it goes on the air, and even if that's it, if the life is just the month span that it's on the air to be viewed and chosen or not, at least you get a shot. You get to show
right,
you can
right.
do.
So you just made one?
Yeah, we just made the pilot.
Okay.
We just made the pilot, and then if, you know, we get the most, like I said, we get the most streams and the other criteria, then they'll pick us up for an order of 12. So
well, here's what I'm going to say to Kevin and Bean listeners, because I watched this yesterday, Kirk. The opening sequence of Zombieland is one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life. That first, like, 4 minutes or something like that kind of sets up the world in which you live is unbelievable. I mean, that's big budget stuff, too. That's not like this is rinky-dink just because it's online.
Right. No, the budget – well, thanks for saying that. I know Rhett and Paul, the creators, they're incredible, and that opening sequence is phenomenal. And yeah, it's I can't say what the budget is, but it was a full-fledged production. I mean, special effects, stunt coordinators, I mean, it's people diving through glass and falling out of buildings,
people on fire.
Yeah, people on fire, people getting killed with weed whackers. I mean, it's
sweet,
it's incredible. Yeah,
Well, there's certainly an audience for zombie material these days. I mean, you couldn't come along at a better time. But why did it, I mean, why did it take so long, 4 years after the Zombieland movie, for somebody to get the bright idea, hey, let's, maybe there's more we can do with these characters?
Here's the thing. 8 years ago, this was started off as a TV pilot, and Rhett and Paul gave this to me and said, and we, hey, we wrote this for you. And it started off as a TV show, and I was originally Tallahassee, and then it became a movie, and I'm not a star. It went to Woody Harrelson. It became this phenomenal movie, and the movie's awesome.
Right.
And then they tried to make a sequel, and all I know that Rhett and Paul told me is that it just, you know, the movie gods weren't with them, and it didn't work out. So then they had this opportunity with Amazon. It was like a perfect marriage of like, hey, let's, we can push the, you know, we can push the boundaries. We can use foul language and kind of do the show that we always intended. And it was a, it was like perfect timing. And it had fallen in and out. I mean, it had been at Fox and Sci-Fi Channel. And
how about that?
Yeah, I know. It was incredible. I mean, I personally was just like, you know, I never in a million years ever, I didn't ever tell anybody that I was originally the Tallahassee they had in mind, because I didn't want to be that guy. Yeah. I would be that guy.
Hey. I was that guy before they replaced me with someone good. No.
I might as well have just stood on the corner of Hollywood Boulevard dressed up like Woody Harrelson.
Right, exactly.
Want to take a picture with me? I'm the original Tallahassee. You know,
but. So what did all the actors do in the Zombieland series? And again, you can see it at Amazon.com or AmazonOriginals.com if you want to get directly to the page. How did you guys treat the fact that these roles had already been played by other actors? Did that inform your work at all, or did you kind of take it from a brand new approach?
You know, we didn't talk about it as a cast, and individually, I mean, I can just only speak for myself. I loved Woody so much in the movie, and I literally, when this fell into my lap, and I went, I'm not going to think about Woody, and I'm not going to think about the movie. Rhett and Paul had written this, the character, in a specific way that was a little more funny. A little more broad, a little more over the top, and I serve the story that way. As corny and actory as that sounds, I just, because you know I would have fallen to pieces being like, am I being Woody enough?
Right.
Am I being, you know?
You don't want to do an impression.
No, I didn't want to do an impression. And you know, look, Woody Harrelson's cool, and I look like a, you know, a right tackle off of my hometown football team that has a gun in his hand. So I mean, there's a complete, total difference.
You got way better hair, too, Kirk. Let's face it. Let's be honest.
Hey, I worked on that hair. The costumers were like, hey, wear this hat like Woody's. And I'm like, oh, man, I will be so straight to DVD for the rest of my life.
So all right, let me play this clip before we have to, before we're out of time here. Kirk Word is the actor here. He plays Tallahassee on Zombieland, the series, at Amazon.com. And I think this really sums up the humor and also the language that you're able to use on this this series. I think this is a great clip from Tallahassee. Listen up. So I think you can see it's fun for the whole family.
Best clip ever. Best clip ever.
Not since the Osbournes have there been that many simultaneously.
Well, when people tune in to watch, they'll see why you're frustrated, because everywhere you go, people are dying around you, and it's actually very funny. It's called Zombieland, the series. Go to AmazonOriginals.com and check it out and help our friend Kirk Ward get this series made. Thanks for the time today. We enjoyed having you on K-Rock.
You guys, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
You bet.
All right. Let's go. Let's open up the phone lines at 1-800-520-1067. We've got the final pair of tickets for Depeche Mode tonight at the Troubadour.
Oh, this must be for real Depeche Mode fans. This is going to be real hard Depeche Mode trivia, I'm guessing, right?
Sure. Let's say yes.
Final pair, you got to make it tough.
Absolutely. Let's say, yeah, we're going to need hardcore Depeche Mode fans for this. Why don't we say that?
You better have a DM tattoo someplace. You better be for real to play this game.
1-800-520-1067. We'll play right after the top of the hour. The final pair of Depeche Mode tickets at the Troub coming up here on K-Rock. First, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat on a Friday.
He stopped loving her today.
Is that a country song?
It is.
Okay.
By the Possum, man. The legend.
Who's the Possum?
The Possum. You don't know the Possum?
Is that a group?
No, George Jones. George Jones was the Possum.
Okay.
Legendary country music guy. You know me, I don't care for the country music.
You hate country
much.
Music.
However, like the old school country music,
mm-hmm.
like the sitting in a honky tonk drinking beer, crying in your beer over your broken
back before it all sucked and got Toby Keith-ized?
Yeah, before it all got sucked. George Jones was a guy my parents would listen to a lot back in the day, and I remember really digging George Jones. Okay. Not only because he was a huge talent in country music, but he was a legendary drinker.
Ah.
That's
why you
love
him.
Kind of drinking that I could only dream of aspiring to. That's the kind of drinker he was. Passed away at the age of 81 yesterday. Vanderbilt University Medical Center. Give you an idea what kind of drinker he was. Well, he became known as No-Show Jones because he would not show up to his concerts because he was too loaded.
Great.
And his second marriage was marred by so many drunken benders that his second wife famously hid all the keys to all of their cars so he couldn't get out and get any more booze. He'd been drunk for like several days and he was out of booze. And so she hid all the keys to all their cars. He was a rich country star, so he had a bunch of cars. The local liquor store was about 8 miles away, but she had forgotten one vehicle.
Oh, no.
His riding lawnmower. So George hopped on that lawnmower, going about 5 miles per hour tops. Took him about an hour and a half, but he got to that liquor store, and he restocked.
Sweet.
Came home and continued his mission. So that man had stick-to-itiveness, if nothing else.
I went to see him about 5 years ago, and at that time he was 76 years old. He still sounded great.
Yeah. Possum. Not playing possum now?
No, he's not.
Dina Eastwood, while we're talking about issues, wife of Clint Eastwood, beautiful woman. She had that reality show, Mrs. Eastwood and Company. Remember about her trying to manage some boy band or something?
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
She's apparently in rehab addressing some issues. She's checked into a facility to treat depression and anxiety, say sources. Is that a euphemism? Depression and anxiety?
I don't know.
Am I depressed and anxious because I can't stop doing drugs and drinking? Is that why she's depressed and anxious? Kim Kardashian is hiding from the world, according to In Touch magazine. Normally outgoing attention whore. Has been quiet, reserved whenever she's in public, and going out less and less. I can't imagine if your whole career is built upon a certain physical appearance or an image or something. When that changes as radically as it does with pregnancy, you probably lose your mind a little bit, right? I
imagine. A lot of women go through that when their bodies are out of control, their hormones are out of control, and they don't feel pretty. It's tough for people, right? And somebody like that whose entire life, as you mentioned, Rob, is based on her image, it must really be a spiral for her.
She's got nothing else to offer except what she looks like.
Right, those other women have lives and careers, jobs and friends.
And someone willing to marry them.
She's just a doll.
Yeah.
Really.
Here's some chocolate, Fatso.
And apparently they're also saying she's upset because she feels abandoned by Kanye since she got pregnant. He's off touring and recording and doing things and stuff, and she's sort of out of the mix now. Because the doctor said, you know, you really can't be jetting off to Paris and stuff. You have to be pregnant and stay at home and take care of yourself.
So Kanye didn't stay. You know what? I'm gonna stay here with you.
I'm going to stay right by you.
He said, all right, see ya.
He said, I am not entertained. And he left the house. So this is good, though. This will give her a chance to get used to what it feels like to have Kanye West abandon you when you're pregnant. So when she has the baby, it won't come as a shock to her.
That's true.
When he disappears.
So. Porn star Kim Kardashian.
And the Biebs is in the news again. Earlier this week, it was all about how the Swedish police found drugs and a taser on his tour bus outside the venue that he was performing in. Now the story comes out of Denmark that Bieber was scheduled to do a photo shoot at a cosmetic store, Elizabeth Arden store, there in Denmark. They had set up the cameras, the lighting, the wardrobe. It was all there, except for the Biebs. 6 hours later, he showed up.
Wow, that's not late. I mean, that's really just another day almost.
That's George Jones type behavior.
That's crazy. Late is a half hour, 40 minutes.
When they got there, they had specific wardrobe they wanted him to wear. He threw a temper tantrum and refused to wear it. Well, he doesn't like shirts. We know that
that's
much.
That's true.
Right.
Because of his amazing physique.
And later on in the evening for his concert, he was 90 minutes late to get on stage, reportedly because he was engrossed in a ping pong game he was embroiled in backstage.
Well, at least it was something important.
I can see that. Look, you don't want to stop a ping pong game mid-game. You know it is.
How
right?
is every step you take a douchebag step? How does that happen?
That was a sting song. That was not...
How do you not accidentally make a good move every once in a while?
He's aggressively douchebagged.
It'd be awesome if you walked out and there was just no one there.
That would be awesome.
Unfortunately, that won't happen.
Not my fault.
13-year-old girls just, you know, don't care. They don't care. They'll do whatever it takes.
They're young enough to wait for him.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Channing Tatum is 33 years old today. Lovely and talented actress Jordana Brewster turns 33 as well. Tom Welling from Smallville is 36.
What's his next move now that Smallville's gone? What's he doing, Ralph?
I believe he's directing these days.
Really?
Oh. Yeah. Jose Pacias of Incubus is 37 years old today. Joey Jordison of Slipknot, their drummer, is 38. T-Boz from TLC is 43. Actor and comedian Kevin James is 48. Jet Li, martial artist and actor, turns 50. Roger Taylor, drummer of Duran Duran, is 53. Big day for drummers. That's three drummers on the list. Giancarlo Esposito, very talented actor. You can see him on Revolution on NBC right now. He's 55 years old. And Stana Katic of Castle. She is 35 years old today. Happy birthday, Stana. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
A lot of songs about sweaters. You ever notice that?
I didn't.
A lot of sweater songs.
Haven't noticed that.
That's a lot of songs about sweaters.
Is it sweater time already?
That is a band called The Neighborhood here on K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. Look, here's what's been going on here at K-Rock. Is it all week long on our show and then throughout the day, all the way till 8 o'clock every night, we've been giving away these Depeche Mode tickets for their show at the Troubadour. Now, we're probably never going to have the opportunity to see Depeche Mode in a room this small again. It only holds, what, 400 people? Something like that?
Maybe, yeah.
One of the biggest bands in the world. So you can imagine the hardcore Depeche Mode fans have been coming out of the woodwork from all over the world. People, hey, you don't understand. I have Depeche Mode tattoos. They, you know, we their first dance song at our wedding. I've been to 300 concerts. When are you going to do something for us, the hardcore Depeche Mode fans? And that's why we saved the very last pair of tickets for tonight for you, the hardcore Mode heads. 1-800-520-1067. Here's the game we can play. Hit it, Steve.
When you want to go see Depeche Mode at the Troubadour, Depeche a la mode, Depeche a la mode. Joe Pesci's gonna ask you questions about ice cream. Depeche a la mode, Depeche a la mode. Oh, when you think we can't get any worse, we do stuff like this. Depeche a la mode, Depeche a la mode.
Hey, you come up with 10 different
concepts. Hey, what does he mean worse? How does this thing worse than what you guys usually do?
Hey, Joe Pesci.
Hey, Kevin and me, you two stuttering bastards. How you doing?
Well, we haven't seen you for about 4 years since the last time we played this game. What have you been doing hanging out?
I don't forget that either, because, you know, I got a call when you guys need something. Otherwise, where the hell am I? That's what I want to know.
So, I mentioned it was for hardcore Depeche Mode fans.
That's
but I'm
right.
I'm not exactly sure how the game is played. What's Depeche a la mode? What are we doing here?
Depeche a la mode is me, Joe Pesci, asking you trivia questions about ice cream. It's
about
Pesci,
ice cream.
Pesci a la mode. It's me with ice cream on top.
Okay, well, what does that have to do with Depeche Mode?
I don't care what it has to do with Depeche Mode, you stuttering prick. I don't care what you have to say. It's my game. I'm doing it my way. I'll shoot you. I'll kill you. I don't care. I'll take a baseball bat in the back of your head. I'll crush your skull.
Okay,
take it
Joe.
Easy.
Yeah,
why
just hang
take
on.
It
just,
easy?
I'm just trying to have some fun.
I'm just saying. I'm just saying. No, I'm not all right.
Take it down a notch.
All right. Listen, here's what we're going to do there. So we're going to go to callers on the phone. You'll ask them, I guess, an ice cream trivia question. If they're right, they go into the drawing. Lisa, you'll keep track, and only one will be left standing to win the tickets, right?
Yes.
Okay.
What is this supposed to be, funny, this thing?
You tell us.
Funny how? How am I supposed to be funny? You tell me.
You're asking questions about ice cream.
That's not funny. That's great. I love ice cream.
Hey, Sylvia.
Who doesn't love ice cream? You're some kind of communist?
You want to say hi to Joe Pesci?
Hi, Joe Pesci.
How you doing? What's your name? Sylvia?
Sylvia.
What are you, 60?
No.
Sylvia's a lovely name. There's nothing wrong with that,
Joe. Sylvia, 21st century.
Best name in the world.
There's nothing wrong with Sylvia. All right, let's not get off track here. She is a Depeche Mode fan. She's hoping to win tickets for the Troubadour concert tonight. What's her question, Joe?
Although this premium ice cream is meant to sound Scandinavian, was really made by a Polish guy in the Bronx in 1961. What's the name of the ice cream?
I'm going to have to say vanilla.
Vanilla? What are you? What kind of idiot are you, vanilla? Vanilla's been around since the freaking Egyptians. You think in 1961 it was made?
Right, you don't need to yell at her.
Hang up on this old broad.
She's not old.
She's 65,
not old.
And she's stupid.
She's not old.
What's the answer, Joe Pesci?
Haagen-Dazs.
Haagen-Dazs.
Oh, it
sounds Scandinavian, but actually no, just invented
it was
by a guy.
In New York City, the Bronx. Right. I know the Bronx, and I know that guy.
All right. All right.
Whack that guy who made that ice cream.
Terrible for Sylvia, but let's see if contestant number two,
Don't feel bad,
Edwin.
She's almost going to die soon anyway.
She's
70.
Fine. She's not 70. Edwin, welcome to Depeche a la mode. I apologize what you're about to hear.
Edwin, here's your question. Neapolitan ice cream refers to a block of ice cream composed of layers of what three different flavors?
Vanilla, chocolate, and strawberry.
Nicely
See?
Done.
Edwin knows something. Edwin knows something.
Nicely done. You hold on. All right, let's go to Ron. Hi, Ron.
Hey, how's it going?
Hi, Ron.
Not well.
Shut up, Pete, you stuttering bastard, you.
Ron, you ready for your question?
I hope so.
There's Joe Pesci.
In 1939, the world's first soft-serve ice cream machine was used in what royal-sounding ice cream store? Soft-serve ice cream, royal-sounding ice cream store. What, do you want me to freaking tell you what it is already?
Well, let's give him a moment here. Maybe he's got soft the answer. Serve, he's thinking about it. Soft-serve, yes.
Carvel.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Carvel doesn't sound royal. Dairy Queen. Dairy Queen, you stupid bastard.
All right.
You
know,
not
easy,
everybody
Joe.
Has this information in their
royal.
Fingertips,
Joe Pesci.
Royal. Royal.
Yeah, it's easy you now to
how
say
many
that.
Ice cream stores do you know have rival royal tank inside of it?
I'm just saying it's tough when you're in the moment on the phone. There's a lot
you're
of pressure.
You're going to be in a moment. You're going to be in a grave in a moment. I'm going to stick lie on you. You're not the first body I killed. Oh. Think I can do it all by myself? I can kill you all by myself.
All right. Trace, hi.
Morning. Kevin Bean, Lisa May.
Hi, Trace.
And don't cross Joe Pesci, Trace. He's in a mood
what,
today.
What, you don't say hello right? to me? I'm standing here giving you tickets and no one says hello to me?
Good morning.
I hate this guy. Here's your question. Italian ice cream, the best ice cream in the world, Italians know this, has a higher density and less butterfat. What's it called? The Italian word for Italian ice cream.
Oh, my God. But,
you stuttering bastard. Give me the answer.
I'm having a blank here. I don't know.
A blank? I don't shoot blanks. I shoot actual bullets. I'll kill you.
It's gelato.
Gelato.
Yeah.
There you go. You're telling me that's what the answer is? You're going to tell me?
I told you
what the answer was.
Just relax a little bit.
I'm going to relax with you with a crowbar to your spleen.
All right. Hey, Joe, can I just double check here that we're giving away Depeche Mode tickets to the Troop tonight, but we have you, Joe Pesci, asking
that's
questions
right.
about ice cream? That's the
it's
game we're playing
Alamo.
Here?
Depeche Alamo.
Depeche Alamo.
All right. We have time
it's
for
Joe
just
Pesci talking about ice cream.
All right. Just a couple more contestants. Who's next here, Kevin?
Jesse is next. Hi, Jesse.
Hey, what's up? How's it going, Joe?
Hey, Jesse, how you doing? Here's your question. In 1987, this Vermont ice cream company created a flavor to honor the Grateful Dead's lead singer.
Oh, Cherry Garcia?
Oh, gee, that's the new, wait, that's the name of the ice cream, right?
Now, this Vermont ice cream company.
I know, but I'm saying
the question.
Ben and Jerry's. I'm sorry, please. Ben and Jerry's.
Well, are we letting him in? Because yeah. I don't want to be the rule guy here because he had already answered incorrectly and was buzzed. Does he get two chances to answer?
Yeah, I guess but, not, but
he
it seemed
know.
Like he was
he just,
right.
But, what do you think, Joe Pesci?
I think he knew the answer, but he misunderstood the question.
All right, so he's in.
So we're going to let him in?
So I let him in the drawing.
All right.
How the hell do I care? I got no business being here anyway, you two stuttering pricks.
I'll tell you why you care, because you'll never hear the end of it if you make that wrong decision on the fly. That's why. All right, we got time
because
for one more.
We're erring on the side to maybe give somebody some tickets instead of keeping them from getting tickets. Maybe
we
that's
got
the
time
way you should go. Err on the side of being nice to people,
we got
bastard.
Time for one more
a shallow
contestant.
Grave with your shine
take
box.
Take it easy, Joe. So, Robert, hi.
Hi, how's it going? Hi.
Good.
Hey, Joe.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm pretty good.
I'm not happy.
I can tell.
All right, here's your question. This ice cream store is known for their 31 flavors, one for each day of the month.
Baskin Robbins?
There you go.
That's correct.
All right, nice. All right. Nice.
Somebody, a nice guy shows up, he finally says something, and now we know something.
All right, so Edwin is in the drawing. Jesse, also Robert. Only one will win the final pair of tickets for Depeche Mode of the Troubadour. Lisa May, who's our lucky winner?
The winner is Edwin.
Edwin.
Yeah! Edwin.
Edwin, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Joe, tell him what he's won.
I don't know. I don't even know where I am.
Depeche Mode tonight.
I hate to show up here and I got to deal with you people.
At the Troubadour, congratulations.
Depeche a la mode.
And now, a moment with Bean.
It's, well, I think it's going to work, Zeph. I know you're nervous.
That was a moment with Beam.
Zeph does good work.
Why would Zeph be nervous?
I'm very, very busy. Why waste two syllables when you can do it in one? Come on, you guys.
That's when we had Zach Braffin talking about his Kickstarter program for his movie, Wish I Was There, that he was trying to raise $2 million for in a month.
Right.
Mm-hmm. As of yesterday, 2 days in, he had a little over $1.5 million.
No kidding.
Yeah.
How about that?
So let's go to our Kickstarter correspondent, Dave, the King of Mexico Sanchez, and see what it's up to right now. Dave, come in. Do you hear us, Dave?
I do.
All right. Can you give us an update?
Dean, a drum roll again, please.
Can you give us an update on the total amount for Zach Braff's Kickstarter?
It's currently at 1775318.
Who says numbers that way,
Dave? What's that in dollars, Dave? Can we have it in dollars, please?
Just give it as a combination to a safe.
Is that $1.7 million?
Sure.
Ish?
1,775,318.
There you go. 1.7 million.
$1.7 million. Wow. Almost achieved his goal in 3 days, almost.
How about that?
The rest of the month to come up with the rest.
That's awesome. The more
money, of course, he makes, the more he'll be able to do with the film. So maybe you can finally get Jim Parsons as that sexy pool boy.
Take it easy.
I know. That's why I was excited kind of about the movie. Yeah.
And by the way, Ralph, we didn't get a chance to talk about this yesterday, but have you seen that there's a little bit of a backlash from some people who say that Zach Braff has no business being on Kickstarter? That's not what Kickstarter is for. It's for the guy who has no money who's trying to get his band recorded, you know? And this guy's got resources and has plenty of his own money, and he shouldn't be going to the well for Kickstarter, right? What do you think about that?
What sense does that make?
Who cares? There's a lot of backlash
so
on him
what?
For this.
Those guys are losers. I haven't heard any of it, but I would love to talk to those people. Maybe we can talk to them on Monday and see people who think that people who actually have a couple bucks shouldn't be on Kickstarter.
Where's the outrage there? Yeah, well, I'm happy for Zach. I like him, and I like what he's trying to do, which is to have artistic control, because so often in the movie-making business, like with all forms of art, it seems like the money people run it, and the artistic people have to, you know, have to toe their line.
That sounds like sour grapes. If somebody says, well, my band can't record their album, well, don't suck.
That's because you suck. Yeah.
Zach Braff's already made his bones. He's already proved that he can do what he has to do. He's a proven filmmaker and actor. We know that's a good investment. Your little garage band probably blows.
Right. And him getting his $2 million doesn't mean you can't go out and get as much as your project is worth either.
Right.
Just don't be bad.
It's not like people say, well, I was going to invest in a band, but now I'm going to invest in Zach Braff's movie. They're not mutually exclusive.
Zaff. We call him Zaff.
A moment with Bean.
I think it's going to work, Zaff. I know you're nervous.
That was A Moment with Bean.
We love Zaff.
Zaff is the best.
Zaff is a good man. I like Zaff.
Who doesn't like Zaff?
Speaking of movies, fan of the Scream franchise, are you?
I was in 1994, whenever that came out.
Well, Daily Variety's announced that Scream the Series is making its way to MTV.
Nope.
Scream the Series. Here, I don't. Spoiler alert: the guy in the mask does it. I don't know how they're going to make that a series,
huh?
Unless there's a guy running around that that mask, and they're trying to find him all season long, maybe.
Huh? No, maybe I don't see that.
Maybe like the features, it'll be a brand new crop of people every season. Maybe new people murdered.
You're all going to die tonight.
That's not the same movie.
Oh. No.
MTV has also announced a series about kids conceived by anonymous sperm donors.
Okay.
A docudrama about kids who are conceived by anonymous sperm donors.
What's it about? They're just their lives?
I guess it's going to be about, kids who they have that in common. They were all conceived by anonymous sperm donors.
And then maybe how they feel about it, or if it's troubling?
The series, tentative title for the series is NBA All-Star Weekend. I don't know if they're going to go with that or not, or whether they'll change that later. And then there's another series, Nurse Nation, which will follow a group of nurses around through their hectic days. That's a reality show.
Well,
there's a lot.
It's as good as Nurse Jackie.
there's a lot of drama in the nursing.
And Snooki and J-Well has been brought back for a third season.
Yes. So oh, yes.
Here's your MTV update.
Oh, wait. I didn't watch any of those.
When they sift through the rubble of our civilization, I think they're going to find at the bottom of it MTV. I think that'll be the same. Well, you know what? Look, this is what happened to these people. See what happened?
The beginning of the end, right here.
Never start a cable channel like that, because look what it did to these people.
It killed us. It's going to be the modern equivalent of the asteroid that hit the Earth.
That's right. Neil Diamond's Sweet Caroline, of course, a staple at Fenway Park in Boston, has sold a lot of downloads recently because he famously sang it live at Fenway Park to help in sort of a celebration of the city that had gone through so much since the Boston Marathon bombings. It got so much attention that people said, oh my goodness, I love that song. And they started downloading it. A ton of money has poured in for Neil as artist and songwriter of Sweet Caroline. Well, he's doing something very cool with it. Neil tweeted this week that he's donating all of that new cash to the One Fund, which was put together to help out the victims of the Boston Marathon bombing. So he's donating all the proceeds from the recent success of Sweet Caroline, the rebirth of interest in that song, to give the money back to Boston. Very cool.
That is great, because there are a lot of people who are going to need that money who, you know, now are going to have to adjust their lives because they're missing a leg or something like that. Exactly. And it's great to have a resource. Do you mind, for our younger listeners who maybe aren't familiar with that song, if I just play just a tiny clip of Sweet Caroline? They may not know it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think sure. That'd be great.
I think it'd be doing them a service.
Wheeling
the sky keeps on turning.
That's great, great music.
No, it's good. Good enough.
You mind if I?
No, you have more of Sweet Caroline you'd like to play?
A clip. If not, do you mind if I do that?
Can you do it today? If only someone had worked hard and long on Neil Diamond songs having to do with the Boston bombings that we could play instead of would actually pertain to the story and be of some relevance.
Did that happen while I was out?
Yeah.
Now we caught that guy. It's time to behead him. Give him one last meal. Then cut off his head.
That's a good song.
Neil's new song about the suspect that they caught for the Boston bombings.
That is better.
Just saying, it fits in and everything. Not to be a stickler or anything, but it just has to do something with something.
In a cell.
That's another song, yeah.
That's where we put him till he rots in hell. It wouldn't bother me, I'd like to say. He'll do okay. In Guantanamo Bay.
New Neil Diamond music. Sweet. All about the bomber in the Boston Marathon bombings. Is there another? Wow. Do we have another track from Neil Diamond?
Absolutely.
Kill the head! Kill the spear! Kill the nail on the cross!
Come on!
Cut off his and feed it to the guy. He'll have no reason to zip up his fly.
True. Nothing will be dangling out there.
That's a touching one right there.
I think so. Neil's about love.
He is.
He's a lover.
He is about love.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Channing Tatum is 33 years old today, as is actress Jordana Brewster. Tom Welling of Smallville fame is 36. A lot of drummers celebrating their birthdays today. Jose Pasillas of Incubus, 37 years old today. Joey Jordison, Slipknot drummer, is 38 years old. Roger Taylor of Duran Duran is 53.
I myself am a drummer.
Oh,
so and I've been lucky have been exposed to a bunch of different types of music. My dad grew up listening to jazz.
Good, good.
I don't know how this.
He loves all
this.
Sorts of stuff. I'm not closed minded, but that aside, let me see what else we could
put that aside.
Talk like, about here.
All right, he's out. Yeah. I like the movie rights to that story.
Would too. Jet Li, martial artist and actor, is 50 years old today. Actor and comedian Kevin James turns 48. Giancarlo Esposito, while we're talking about actors, see him on Revolution on NBC. He's 55. And the lovely, the talented, the beautiful Stana Katic from Castle is 35 years old today. I miss her. Can we have her in? Can we have her?
Yes,
in the
we
show?
Can. Every week.
Can she do something?
Sure. Anything.
Let's bring her in. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show biz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Monday morning, David Boreanaz. Monday morning, Kathy Griffin. And Monday morning, details on the K-Rock Weenie Roast 2013.
What?
7:15, Monday morning.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend.
My dad.
Pass it over to me.
What did you do?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Hard to me.
Roll another one.
Not so funny when it's your mom, is it?
Just like the other one.
Open up a blog.
This one seems to be about quitting.
Asshole.
And I need another hit.
Check 1-2, 1-2, check. Hot, hot. Test, test, test. 1-2, check, check. Check, check, check. 1-2. Sounds good, sounds good.
Nope.
Sounds hot.
Take that back.
I don't have another cent.
This makes you so proud to be a Californian.
But don't bogart that joint.
See, this is why we don't win wars anymore.
Just pass it around.
Ain't that what's troubling you, fella?
But don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Say what?
Just pass it on down.
Pass it on down.
It was an experience. It was a good experience. Well, it was an experience. I think I need to go home now.
Lisa's right. We're nothing but a big bunch of losers. Show's over, folks. Go home.
And stop. Great job and very informative. But we need to stop now forever and pretend like this never happened.
Take care of your handsome selves. God bless and thank you for using OnStop.